So we're going to just... Do you want to do Indus questions?
Oh, fuck.
Don't!
I want to cut this out a little bit. Hold on, let me just go back to my... keep going. Good shit. Oh, thank God for password save. Keep going. We'll stop
it. I'm done.
All right, here we go.
That was good.
All right, good shit. All right, here we go. We've got Indus questions coming up right now in a second. Here we go. Right now.
That is staying in. That is staying in. Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 188. Is that right? 188?
That was good.
I almost said 189. That's the problem.
What's up? Whatever.
My name is Christopher Gill. I'm here with, as you can hear, Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And Travis is sick. Aw. So we have Glenn Burgess with us. How you doing, Glenn?
Yo.
What's up, dude? How are you? Right.
I'm good. I'm recovering from a weekend of sickness and not good feelings.
Not fun.
It's like a million degrees outside, and I work outside, so I die weekly, basically. I've had that.
Yeah, working outside right now has to suck.
Oh, God,
it's god awful.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous it's here.
Like the last 4 days, there hasn't even been a cloud in the sky or a breeze or anything.
And it's humid as shit there too, man. That's like
yes.
You guys have worse humidity than we do, and I thought we had bad humidity.
I get mad at my weather app every time I look at it. It says it's 88 degrees outside, but it feels like 102. Yeah. Listen, bitch, if it feels like 102,
say it's
fucking
102.
That's right.
Yeah. When you touch a stove, it burns you.
I set this stove for medium, but it feels like a million degrees Kelvin.
Yeah. Oh God.
So that's been going on. We're fostering a dog, and
I hear everybody wants it.
Yeah, we've got somebody looking on Saturday. So
cool, very cool. Yeah,
I'm hoping that they take it.
I think that's awesome. By the way, that you guys are doing that, I really.
What happened? I'm at a loss. They got to fill me in here.
I'm fostering a dog.
What do you mean? Like you?
There's a dog.
You know how you can foster a kid? Well, you can foster a dog.
Yeah.
Okay. So. You said someone's going to take ownership of those. So what I'm saying is there's like some kind of like society around there that you can just do that?
Oh, yeah. That's just the normal, the dog pound, the adopted people that are around here. Somebody dropped this dog off just in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And he's all scarred up, and he's a pit bull, and he weighed like 26 pounds.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. And we've had him for about 3 weeks. He's already up to 56 pounds.
Awesome, dude. Awesome.
So he's doing good. And the thing is he keeps picking fights with my dog over, like, toys and stuff. But he's the worst pit bull in the world because he keeps losing.
Like, he keeps cowering. He's like, he keeps losing.
Well, no. He keeps fighting, but, like, we'll separate him. And I threw him in the other room, and I was like, what's wrong with you? And I'm holding his head, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my hand is just covered in blood. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, are you serious?
Well, I guess when he bark-snapped at my dog bit, and he bit straight through his lip. I'm like, God, come on.
Oh, wow.
What's wrong with you? Stop it. So like my dog never starts shit, but like he just stops taking his shit and bites the hell out of him like twice, and then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, my bad. I'm like, well, let's stop starting shit, you idiot. Good God, you keep getting your ass kicked. So I'm hoping this person, because he really is like the sweetest dog ever. He just, if you sit on the couch, he will just be your shadow. Like he'll lean right against your leg, or he'll crawl up in your lap and lay down. So somebody's got a family somewhere that.
And, you know what? I really hate the image that pit bulls get.
Right.
Because they are not bad dogs. You know, you have to train them to be the way people envision them being all the fucking time, dude. You really do. I mean, I've got a friend of mine, Tina, and her brother has a pit bull, and I go over there and I like jump over his back and start rubbing his belly. And I'm like, he's a very snuggleable dog. I mean, he's
right.
You know, it's ridiculous that people have, it's ridiculous that these dogs have such a bad rap only because there's some dumb uneducated fucks out there that like to, you know, screw things up.
Yeah. And I'm amazed, by the way, that anybody can train them at all, because if he's an example of the breed, that dog's kind of dumb. And he's really pig-headed.
You know what it is? It's because the issue is they're not vicious dogs. Yes, you can train them to be vicious, but you can train just about any dog to be vicious. Mm-hmm. The reason pit bulls get such a bad rap is because they have the most powerful jaws
in the world,
in the canine family.
I mean, 1,000 foot-pounds.
It's ridiculous. I mean, if a pit bull locks their jaws around your leg, you're either losing your leg or you're shooting the dog. It's one of the two. And the thing is that they're, you know, but you have to train them to be that way. I mean, Chihuahuas are much worse from like a hostility standpoint than fucking pit bulls are.
Well, the other thing about pit bulls is they are super, super loyal.
Oh, yeah.
To like one or two people.
And very protective as well.
So they're easy to get to fight because you can coax them in pretty easily. If you just kind of have to make it look like you're unhappy with them or you're getting attacked or whatever, and they'll jump right the hell in there in a heartbeat. So it kind of sucks because they are super, super loving.
Super sweet dogs. Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, we named him Dobby, and we're hoping somebody's going to come on Saturday and give him some clothes. Horrible Harry Potter humor. I mean, really, as far as just life goes, that's about it, man.
Okay, cool. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Mute button is good.
See, I was wondering if you went to get another beer or something like
that. Yeah, thought you got. He's like, all right, dog podcast. No,
they're talking about dogs.
I'm stocked up here until, you know, at least until break. But I'm just,
so Jeff has been training Kai. welcome to the cat podcast.
Every time she has a fight with me, somehow I'm losing. So
cat claws are sharp as shit, dude.
Somehow when you said Kai, I heard koi, and I pictured Jeff training fish.
Fish?
Sit.
Oh, man.
Good fish.
No, I'm doing okay. Same thing. Weather is ridiculous here. Luckily, in the evening, though, it does drop to about 20s, like high 20s, which I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
High 70s, if I had to guess.
Yeah, something like that. 60s, 70s.
So it's very bearable. It's not too bad. But during the day, it's been crazy. Like, it's same thing. It's 32, but it's going to feel like 45. And you're like, yeah. Tell us it's fucking 45. And that's friggin' hot.
Why are you lying to us?
Exactly. It's a conspiracy.
It is.
Well, yeah, so I don't know. Just doing the same shit on weekends. Usually get-togethers and barbecues this time of year and patios and, you know, that kind of thing. I'm just kind of relaxing this past week. This week, same kind of thing. Not too much coming up. Nothing exciting.
All right.
Hey, summer. Dog days of summer, so to speak.
Ah.
Yeah. That works on two levels. So, Chris, what up?
Yeah, not much going on. Got my bill of good health today. I had my follow-up from my surgery.
Good.
And the doctor said, you know, as long as you're not feeling any pain, you're in good shape. And you know, the only thing I'm feeling right now is like a little bit. It almost feels like I overworked my abs. Like I have that soreness.
Yeah.
And that's really all I've got. So you know, I'm pretty much back to normal. He said you can resume, you know, whatever you usually do, and you don't have to worry about it as much anymore. But
so you're good to do one-handed push-ups now?
Yes, I'm good to do my one-handed push-ups. Yeah. I think I've done one. I think I can do one or two of those, and that's it.
Really? I fall over. I've just got no balance.
It's they're hard. Yeah, I mean, like I down. when I was doing P90X, they make you do it. And I think the best I ever did was like two on my feet. And then I had to go to my knees to continue. They're just too friggin' hard. But yeah, I mean, besides that, I have been digging Google+.
Yeah.
A lot. And
I haven't taken that plunge yet, and every time I get something from Nico, I don't even understand what the hell's going on. It sounds like it's ads I'm getting.
Like, no, it's just it's posts, or he mentions you, or he has a photo of you, or something like that.
So it's like Facebook.
It's very much like Facebook, but it's a lot cleaner and a lot simpler. It's not like I bloated. Bloated feels Facebook to me. Facebook feels bloated to me.
Fucking bloated.
Bloated feels Facebook to me. No, but it does. It just feels like it's overcrowded with crap, and that's why I don't really visit. I don't really do Facebook that much. But Google Plus is very clean. You know, it's simple. It's a lot like Facebook was when it first started. You know, it's not. There's not like a million and one different things that you can do.
And there's no vills. Oh God, there's no vills.
Yeah,
there will be eventually.
Well, hopefully not vills.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. It'll be another platform. Why would they?
But yeah,
it's
I mean,
the same shit. My question is, why would anyone who uses Facebook regularly switch to Google Plus?
If they are,
use it regularly, they know how to navigate through that shit quicker.
Well, if they use it regularly, then they know how to navigate Google Plus too, because it's very similar.
But why would you switch though?
Here's the way I like to say it.
Sell it to me.
It's kind of a combination between Facebook and Twitter. Because look
at
it this way. If you're on Facebook, all your Facebook friends are legitimately on some form friends or acquaintances or people you know for the most part, right?
Yeah.
But then you have artists that you like and fan movies that you like and blah, 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 blah. And they're separate like fan pages. And Twitter, you have your friends that you like and then there's celebrities you follow so that you can see what they're up to too.
Yeah.
Think of Google Plus. You can do all the stuff that you kind of can on Facebook. You know, you can make your own posts. You can geotag things. You can check in places. But you can also have circles of people that you're just following. So you don't have to actually just
befriend them kind of thing.
Right.
Like,
so you don't have to wait for a friend request. You don't have to say, I like this person or anything. Yeah. You don't have to publicly declare anything at all. You can just follow Felicia Day. And whenever she makes a post, you can see it. And you can comment on it. And it's kind of a combination.
Whenever you make a post that's public... Because you can actually make a post to just your circles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True.
Which is also kind of cool. So when you put up a post
my
on your stream...
My favorite part, by the way, is that.
Yeah, when you put a post up on your stream, you can do it to just your circles.
It's basically Facebook with a Twitter kind of application to it.
Exactly. It's like someone took a simpler form of Facebook and combined it with Twitter. And that's what you got.
And the circles you combine your people. Like, you guys are in my list as podcast people, and you're under friends...
Right.
And you're under following. So if I want to send things to if I've got something like, oh, I found this really cool piece of podcasting equipment, I can send it to just the relevant people who would give a shit.
Right.
Right.
That's
right.
Cool.
And I can exclude people from work so that I can still follow them and they feel like, oh, I'm following, blah, 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 blah.
So this is the thing that I'm going to use Google Plus and Facebook?
Probably.
That's why I think a lot of people are going to do it. Because it's like, why bother? Until it becomes like everyone's moving over because you put so much time and investment in getting all your contacts on Facebook, then it's also in Google Plus. It's like, oh God, it's just another social network.
MySpace all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. Like, the thing about Google Plus, though, as far as like you're concerned, is you would probably have a lot less draw to it because you don't use a lot of Google products. You know, you don't use Gmail a whole lot. Sure, you have a Gmail address, but you don't do it a lot. You might not use the calendar a lot and stuff like that. I mean, Google Plus like integrates everything into. Like it almost seems like it's all one big thing now.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It sounds great. It sounds amazing. I just think it's way too late. It's like everyone's.
It might be.
Facebook's like the number one visited website in like the world. Next, I think Amazon or might even be number one. I don't know.
I have a feeling that there are other people like me out there that think that Facebook has just gotten too bloated and they want something simpler. Yeah.
Well, for sure.
And it's the newest, latest thing. So that's the other
new
thing.
Hotness.
People are just going to jump onto it because it's new.
It's the new
and
hotness.
It's new. And it's Google, so it's going to work. They've already got right now it's still in the invite-only stage. They've already got over, what was it, 10 million people?
Wow, really? I didn't realize it was that many people.
I'll have to look it up so that I don't misquote, but it was definitely in the millions already.
That's crazy.
And it's invite-only. It's only been around for, 3 weeks?
Yeah. But
so
then again, anytime you add someone to a circle, they get invited automatically. So,
Right.
Which is cool. You know, I like that.
Oh, dog crazy.
I still get it as another hassle.
You know, all sorts of barking. Jesus Christ.
All right, what are we doing tonight? We're doing contest entries for the month of June, I do too. I'm looking forward to it. We didn't really advertise this one that much, but we did get a pretty good amount of entries. So it should be good. Before that, we're going to do distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before we do that, in this bar, what are we drinking?
Who's first? Oh my God.
I'm drinking the Stella Artois.
Nice.
My staple. Right.
What do you got, Glenn?
I have got the Blue Moon Summer Honey Wheat.
That's pretty good right now, man. It's a good summer beer. I went to the store, and right next to the Stella was...
Was your appendix.
Not my appendix. Newcastle Brown Ale. I was actually hoping to find some Terrapin Sunray Wheat, but unfortunately I did not find any. So I am drinking my Newcastle.
That's all right. Newcastle's good. It's a little bit maybe thick for the summertime.
Yeah, they have a Newcastle summer, but they didn't have it in stock.
Do so they really?
They do have a Newcastle summer. Yeah, it's pretty tasty. Yeah, it's not
what's
bad.
What's it made out of?
I don't know.
Snails
sunshine.
And puppy dog
tails? That was horrible, wasn't it?
It's made of the sun.
It's made of sunshine and rainbows.
It would feel like the sun shining on your face.
And now Jeff has the right to say what he was saying before, which he won't say now.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't say that. I'm not going to say that on the air.
You can say the one that's not as offensive.
That you have a vagina?
Close enough. All right, let's talk about some games. Jeff, you want to go first? Actually, no, Glenn's our guest. Glenn, go first.
Oh, God, games. You guys, you're in for a treat. I've played some games.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Because you don't do that a lot, so.
No, lately I don't because I'm so fucking tired all the time. I've turned on the PS3.
Shit, you're outside in 90 fucking degree weather, man.
I scroll over to Infamous and I just go, God, that just sounds like way too involved. So I keep scrolling over to Netflix and I watch Battlestar Galactica instead.
Oh, such a good show, man.
It is, but that's not playing video games. So I'm in luck. I found something to do both. It's great. So I bought a new laptop.
Okay.
My old one's been fucking around with me too much. I'm sick of it. It's killed too many episodes of my show. And as a last-ditch effort, actually, the last show I recorded on it, it just went and cut the bitrate in half. So it just sounds like everybody's speed talking, and you can't slow it down because it sounds like robot noises. So the whole episode was lost.
That might be pretty cool, actually.
So
did you listen to the Phantasy Star episode that we did where I sounded like I was a robot the whole time?
Oh yeah, that's right. But it's the whole show, everybody, including the music we play.
Oh, that's bad.
It's horrible.
That's bad.
So in any case, so I finally got a new laptop. And it's a sweet Core i7 with an NVIDIA card that's like, you know, the high midpoint of average of top of the line NVIDIA cards.
Okay.
So it's not bad. It's pretty damn decent. I have not been able to play a game on Steam yet that I haven't been able to turn up to full settings and get better than 60 frames per second. So I'm pretty damn happy with it. It's the nicest laptop I've ever had.
Cool.
So speaking of Steam, I don't know if you knew this, but Steam had some sales.
They did.
Oh my God! You don't understand the willpower I had this past week and a half. Or so.
I've been staying away from Steam exactly for that reason because I know I would buy some shit and never play it.
So Team Fortress 2 went free to play. So I played that a little bit with Plank Fan from the Retroids crew.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was funny because I got into a little sniper fight with him, and at the beginning I just kept owning the shit out of him, and I'm like, oh God, it feels so good to be back to keyboard and mouse.
And then
he got better at sniping, and he owned the shit out of me. So when it was all said and done, we were dead even, and it was fun. Nobody was mad. So that was fun. I've not really played Team Fortress 2 before, so that's interesting. I'm looking forward to actually playing some of that. Then, oh God, what else did I get? I got Left 4 Dead 2, because that was $5. So I've been playing some of that.
Yeah, I bought that. Did I buy that? Or I think Jason might have given it to me. I can't remember. No, I think that's one I actually bought, and I played it, like, once.
I bought it, and I haven't played it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I bought a lot of stuff in that Steam sale, and I just
We should have a Left 4 Dead 2 night.
That's not going to happen.
I know. we can say it on the show, though. It sounds good.
Oh, yeah, we can. Yeah, totally. And then next week, we'll totally forget it.
Dude, we totally play video games. No, we don't.
Netflix 2.
Let's have a Netflix night, guys.
Okay.
I broke and downloaded Portal 2 for PC.
Oh, nice. That's right, because you gave Kelly your download
code. Yeah,
right?
Kelly got the download code. So now I have it so that she can platinum Portal 2 on PS3. So I'll play on my computer. good God. And the big thing that's been a time suck for me, unfortunately, I have to admit that I am again an MMO player.
Fired.
What do you, Rise?
Actually, Eve.
Oh, that's right. I saw you tweeting about that. Yeah,
you mentioned that. How is it?
I've been piloting the heavens with my co-host, Busby.
Nice.
And, no, it's amazing, actually. My character's name is Gregory Adama.
Nice. Speaking of Battlestar Galactica.
Right? Well, that's the problem, because I actually thought myself
just
at
like
one
Riddick,
point.
Doesn't he?
He looks a bit like Riddick. It was an accident, but he does kind of look like him. The thing is, I actually caught myself at one point. I was playing Eve and watching Battlestar on Netflix. I'm like, God, I'm a fucking nerd. This is horrible. So it's.
Hey, you want to be on a podcast?
Yeah, right. So Eve is a little weird. I don't know if you guys have ever ventured into it.
I have not.
Much about it. The thing that's funky about Eve, when you level up stuff, there's not a tree. Like, you can't look at anything in particular in the game and say, I want to get to this end point, so I need to level up this ability and then this ability and go from there. There's just shit. Like, if you find shit you need to use, you can right-click it, and it'll tell you what you need versus what you have to make that work. And what you need may not even be in your skill list. You may have to go to the market and buy that skill and then try and level it. And rather than having skill points, where you would just, you know, usually like after you level up, it gives you like 10 points to put to wherever you want, and you can, you know, level up one of your abilities or some bullshit like that. It takes like a day, like 24 real-time hours. So you just click, I want to learn this skill, and it goes, okay, and it puts it on a timer, and 24 hours later, you've learned it.
That's kind of cool.
Okay.
It's interesting. Because yeah.
You can only do one skill at a time, though, right?
Yes.
Negative. You can cook up to 24 hours worth of skills. So it's like they don't all take 20 hours. Some of the bigger ones take 20 hours, but some of the entry-level skills only take about 38 minutes. Some of them even only take 16 minutes.
Hmm.
So you can just look through and just see a bunch of small skills that are going to help you kick ass and just go, just put them in, and it'll, whether you're logged in or not, it'll cook through those skills. So you just kind of, you can kind of play this game pretty passively if you want to. You don't have to constantly be paying attention. And even if you're flying around to places, you can actually put on an autopilot so that you can make all the jumps you need to make. And you only need to pay attention for the last stop. So you can play that game and do other things at the same time. And you don't have to be super attentive to it.
That sounds retarded.
Does it?
Well, not retarded. It just sounds like, why would you ever want to do that?
Well, it's it's hard to explain.
I could cook a steak and play something while waiting for my steak to cook, too. That sounds way more fun.
I can't argue with that because there is steak involved. Bacon too, because then I'm totally down.
But basically, what's the gameplay of the game though? That's what I've always wanted to know.
The gameplay, it depends on what you want to do. That's what's kind of cool. You can actually study industry. There are people who run businesses in the game. They like mine shit, they sell shit, they market, they play the stock market, which there is in the game a stock market. You can actually follow prices of things over the last like month or so. And determine whether or not you want to buy it now or wait till it drops back down again. It's ridiculous, the economy in that game. You can be a pirate, and you can go through space and just wreck shit and steal everybody's shit.
That's
you can
cool.
You can be in the military, and you can kill the fucking pirates. So that's kind of where I'm going right now. I'm going down the military route, and like it's all, you know, go to this checkpoint and it's infested with pirates and go fuck their shit up. So you kind of have to figure out, you got to fit your ship with the right weapons and everything, and you orbit around in somewhat real time. You know, you're not like aiming and firing. You kind of choose your target and then tell it what weapon to use, and then you just kind of watch the battle unfold. So it's interesting. It's not really, you know, I think some
people
totally
get
into that
engaging.
Game and,
it's just kind of something that's
yeah. Some people get into that game. I think they expect Wing Commander, and it's not anything like that at all.
Yeah.
You know? But it is a gorgeous, gorgeous game to watch.
And this game came out like fucking 13,000 years ago, didn't it?
It came out a while ago. I think they updated the graphics and such since.
Yeah, I think they had an update.
But it's just, it's amazing to look at that game.
How much was that when you bought it?
$20. Hmm. And that includes your first month, which is $14.99.
Okay, so standard, basically.
Yeah, realistically, $5 is what it costs you to get the actual game. And they have a 14-day free trial you can get on Steam. So you can check it out and see if you like it. Interesting enough, and I don't know, it's just this, the way I've felt about gaming lately. I just don't want to sit with a controller in my hand or you know, have to focus solely on the particular game that I'm playing at the time. And this is working for me really well for that. And it's got that whole reward deal where after you work for so long, they give you a bigger ship, and then that ship you can load more guns onto, and then you can use that guns to kill more people so you can get a bigger ship.
Can you get other people on your ship, or is it more of like you get a group of ships?
I don't know. Like, me and Busby started a fleet.
Yeah.
So you can actually have a fleet of ships that go and attack something, which is cool. But I don't know, because you can get ships that are theoretically about the size of the moon
in this game. So that's a small ship.
And I don't know if you can put more than one person on said ship at a time.
On a ship the size of the moon?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough.
Jesus.
That'd be the biggest waste in the world. For one guy.
So I'm just chilling on my moon ship and kind of lonely. I diarize it.
What kind of ship are you piloting? I'm piloting the Death Star. By myself.
Yes. There are no assholes. There needs to be more. But I don't know. I'm excited to kind of see where it goes. Because I just want a big ship. I just want a big fucking ship. If you look up the reason we started playing this, and this is Busby looked up this like the top 10 biggest dick moves in MMO history, right? And there was like three of them that happened in Eve. And one of them was a group of people, and their business were they were assassins.
I think
there's people with bounties out on their head. So people would say, hey, I need you to kill this bitch, and I'll pay you double what the bounty is right now. So what they did was this one guy started a new character and got in with the company that this woman was the head of. And in the actual, we're talking our lifetime, not in game time, a year, worked their way up the company to become the second in command.
Are you serious?
And then, I swear to you. And then after they got to second in command, they literally just looked at the woman and said, hey, congratulations, thanks. Killed her, let everybody in the fleet in their fleet into the hangar, stole every ship this woman had, and then she came back from the dead because that's the way Eve works, so they killed her again.
Oh my god.
So
that is really cool, actually.
She lost her whole company, every dollar that she had, and every ship she had.
Oh,
that
my
is a
God.
Total dick
and
move,
they did
but
it
that
over
is
the course. Yes.
That is really cool.
It is really cool. So I'm like, yes.
So
we
you
want
can actually walk
this.
Around like, like third person, like you can actually control a character.
If you're in a space station or if you're docked somewhere, yeah, you actually walk around and like there's a little this area that's your like captain's quarters and you walk around, you can go in front of a mirror and it lets you change your appearance. And there's a chair you can sit in that has three TVs and one's showing like a bounty board, one's showing you what you can do on the planet and it's actually I can't explain why it's fun because every time I talk about it, I even hear myself and go, why is this fun?
Yeah, this part sounds fun because I'm wondering like so you say he moved up like second in command. I want to know, was that like a ranking system within the game or is that he got so close to the woman who was basically owned this company or whatever?
Promoted by the woman.
Him.
Yes, that's why.
That's
earned the woman's trust. Got all the way up to second in command.
Wow, that is so awesome.
And then wrecked her shit. I know.
That is horrible.
That is terrible. But dude, he put a year. That's like, that is some hardcore undercover
shit. Yeah, that is
that is cool.
That's a huge dedication to a practical joke.
A full real just year.
And then the woman went and jumped off a cliff, but whatever.
Probably. I mean, there's so much shit. Like they estimated that the ships alone, if you were to equate it to real life money, the amount of money they stole in the ships was like $16,000 American.
American.
That's crazy.
That is nuts. It's more the time wasted that would just destroy me. I'd be like, fuck this. I'm never playing this game again.
Speaking of time wasted, I'll move on. I played Infamous for the first time. I've been playing that a little bit.
Okay.
And it's fun. I'm just not getting hooked as much as everybody kind of told me I'd get hooked on it.
I
don't know why.
I can see that, maybe.
Because that whole shooting lightning thing is not accurate.
No,
it's bugging me.
It takes a lot of lightning hits.
Yeah, well, and like, I've had a few where like I shoot and nothing happens, and I don't actually move, and the person doesn't actually move, and I shoot again, and it says headshot.
No,
I'm like, what the hell? All
right.
So there's that, and I picked up Borderlands Game of the Year edition on the Steam sale.
I was gonna do that, and then I realized, dude, with fall coming up, there's no way I'm gonna play this game again because I know it was $7 or something.
$7.50.
Yeah, I was going to. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna download it. And then it's going to sit on my... We'll play it like maybe for like a weekend, and then I won't touch it again.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna play it all the way through again. I love the hell out of that game.
I still haven't beaten that game.
Oh my god, dude. You haven't fought the vagina monster?
I have not fought the vagina monster. I did see your wife fight the vagina monster.
Oh, yeah.
That's an unusual statement to say, but you know what?
It is.
I got to say it.
It's on TubeBait. I'll send you the link.
You know the soldiers are named Roland, right? Like if you just pick a soldier, they just name him Roland.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuck playing a soldier, which is fine. I'm actually enjoying it now, but I guess I clicked the wrong thing and I ended up being a soldier. And I changed my name to See Me Roland.
Oh, God.
And I bought Busby the game, and I said that he has to name his character They Hatin'.
They what?
They Hatin'.
They Hatin'?
So, So if we're going on to servers with each other, it'll say, see me rolling, they hating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're fucking nerds. So I guess I'll wrap me up. So Jeff.
I can go now.
Go.
Nothing really new.
I wanted you to say, I've been playing Eve.
I've been playing Eve. Oh, God, no, I wouldn't put the people through that. So, played some Forza 3, because, you know, people love racing games. And the reason why is because they finally updated Top Gear on Netflix in Canada.
Yes.
So they went up to, I think they went up to season 13 before, and now it's like a couple seasons after that. So it got me back into racing games. So I went to Forza 3 just because it's easy. It's like, as much as I think Gran Turismo 5 feels a bit better, just Forza 3 is so much easier just to get into, do a couple races, then just like quit. So I've been playing that almost every day, actually, for a little bit. Just buying new cars, testing them out and stuff. Fun times. Killzone 3, I did another chapter in that. I totally forgot I had that for a while. Because I was sitting there one day, I'm like, oh man, I really wish I had Crysis 2, because I lent it to a friend of mine. Because I wanted to like play some levels. I was like, wait a second, I have Killzone 3. I haven't beat that yet, so. That's a cool game. Craig. Glenn, did you play the single player at all yet? No, right?
Of which?
Killzone 3.
I played a little bit of the single player, and the voice acting is just killing me in Killzone 3. I thought it was actually decent in Killzone 2, but it's just people like get shot at and they scream like ah! Come on! But no, I've not a lot. I've touched it.
That's pretty cool. Well, if you haven't touched it by now, you probably wouldn't. Or if you only dabbled in a little bit, you probably won't go back to it. But yeah, it's good. It's a good first-person shooter. What else to play? Witcher 2, of course. I won't go into detail about that because I've been playing that consistently. Explosion Man. I finally beat it.
Yeah, nice, dude.
Really?
2 years in.
I'm still stuck on that. I'm not going
to
lie.
Oh, dude. Like I got to a point where I remember I got frustrated with the game. And then I just stopped playing it because...
Ooh, I'm going to get to that later.
I stopped playing it. I was like, hey, you know, fuck this. And then I got distracted. Like, other games started coming out. So I just never really went back to it. I went back to it here or there. It would be, like, one level. That's it. And then Navishin on Twitter was like, dude, I just checked your trophies. You're, like, literally... Or I saw, like, how far you were. You're literally, like, 5 levels or 4 levels away from the ending. You might as well just beat it. So the other day, I just sat down. I was like, hey, I'm just going to go through these 4 levels. And it's funny. One day, I just got stuck at this level. I could not beat it. I'm like, screw this. That's it. And then when you guys were doing the, Chris and you and Jason were doing the stream this week, I was like, you know what, I'm going to play some Explosion Man. I'm going to try to beat this level. And I beat the part I couldn't beat before on my first try.
Yeah.
After failing like 50 times at it before.
Yeah, I'll get to that later too.
but dude, that game is really good. And the ending of it is epic. Like, it is hilarious, the ending to that game. It is so good.
I have to play that, don't I?
It's play
really
it or...
good, man.
have you not played it at all?
No, it's really good. It is really good.
I played it. I'm at this spot where there's these 3 ships that keep shooting at me. And...
Dude, okay. That annoyed the hell. In that game, I hated that part. Like, anything that had those ships that shoot you, I was like, this is just stupid. It's not even frustrating. It's just like, why is this here?
Do I have to kill all 3 of them at the same time? Is that...
You don't kill them. You basically got to wait. They have a pattern, and you got to wait to where you can actually dodge around them and then maybe kill them. I think I know what you're talking about. The ships that kind of float around and they shoot at you.
Yeah, but there's nowhere for me to go. Like, it locks me in the room. It's like, it seems like it's one of those areas where it's like a mini boss kind of thing where you can't move on until you kill them.
You might have to look up what stage it is, and I'll try to let you know. But yeah, any of those floating ships just really pissed me off about the game, and I thought
they were obnoxious. Because I was having so much fun before then, just exploding.
Just
running and exploding and making meat.
I will say, like, I think it's like the third world doesn't really do that stuff. It does other stuff that's frustrating, but the thing that this game has that so few frustrating games have is that sense of accomplishment when you do beat a level, because you know... You'll beat that level. It'll say par time, 2 minutes and 53 seconds. Your time, 21 minutes. And
I'll get to that later too.
Yeah, if you go back to that level again, you're gonna just destroy your old time.
Yeah, you
know how to get through
that really do
so easily.
Because the thing about, I really want to save this, but the thing about the the Explosion Man games is that it's like the first time through, it's a learning process.
Yes.
And once you actually know what's coming, it's a lot easier to get through. It's,
exactly.
It's not like Meat Boy where you're looking at practically the whole stage.
The whole level.
Yeah.
It's scrolling.
Yeah. So, the level is huge and you have to figure out like, and it's only when you actually get to it, like the next area that you know, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that. And,
exactly. Yeah. And it's too late. By that point, it's too late and you're dead. You got to do it again.
Which would you say is more of a feeling of accomplishment when you finish a difficult level in Splosion Man or a difficult level in Meat Boy?
I'd say they're the same, I'd say.
Yeah, okay.
I'd say they're pretty much exactly the same. Like
I always felt it more in Meat Boy.
Like Meat Boy, you can see it and you know what you have to do. It's just getting the right timing down with the controls to do it. Whereas like Chris said, Splosion Man is more of you don't really know what you're supposed to do till it's on the screen.
Right.
And then you might screw up just based on that. And then there's other parts that you just get your timing down. But if you go back and replay a level in Splosion Man, one that you did terrible at the first time, and you just destroy your time, like you can get the part time easily, it's like, I'm in the rhythm. It's like, that's why I kind of compare it to like Sonic the Hedgehog way back when we first talked about it, because if you know the level, there's like constant more. You're never stopping in that game. You're like constantly moving
forward. Yeah, that's true.
And it's really fun. I like it. But yeah, I'm glad I beat it finally, because the reason I did is because Miss Splosion Man's coming out, and Chris, I know you're going to do a review on that later on. But I did play Miss Splosion Man as well, but I'll save my commentary for when you're talking about it.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to steal this one from you, Chris, just because I have nothing else new to talk about, but I played the Catherine demo.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we did that on Industream, so let's talk about that.
And I know you guys didn't really like it. I really liked it.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I thought this game was very, very original in terms of storyline.
Oh, it definitely is original. That
content.
Is true.
And I like the puzzles. Like, I like the way the puzzles are set up. I think it's really cool. Like, what the gameplay actually is. You're basically climbing up a tower and you got to move blocks around to get higher and higher
right.
while something's chasing you and blocks are falling and stuff. And I know eventually there's boss battles and stuff. One thing that does worry me about it, though, is I have a feeling this game's going to get really, really hard. Like,
it's an Atlas game, and yeah, it probably will.
Because do you guys know? Well, because like, I don't even think normal. I know in the demo, normal I don't think was even open. But
no,
on easy,
no.
You can rewind. So if you screw up, you can hit back and redo what you just did before that. And
you can't do that
scares
on normal.
Me, yeah, and the reason that scares me is this game basically leaves no room for error. I'm guessing. So if you screw up, you cannot beat the level. You basically got to.
Start from the last checkpoint,
Exactly. Nah. That's what worries me about the game. Like, very much. The checkpoints aren't terrible, but it's that it makes me feel like I like puzzle games where if you know you got yourself a gem, like, oh, damn, I fucked up, I can get myself out of it, though. Whereas this game looks like it's not going to be kind of like that, because the way that the bottom of these towers are, like, basically getting destroyed and falling as you're moving up, so if you really, really screw up and you can't go down too much because the thing's going to be there to kill you or whatever, then you're kind of screwed. This is just what my theory. I don't know if this is fact. That's kind of, it's, you know, there's just like three of those levels in the demo, and the last one was kind of tough. I mean, it took me just a couple chances to do it to realize, oh, that's what I got to do.
Yeah.
And that's like the third freaking one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no doubt.
Oh my God. Like, but I think I might get this game. It was kind of like hovering on my radar, but now that I play the demo, I'm really intrigued by it, and I think I might get it just for the storyline alone and just the way it's presented. And I really do like the puzzles. My only thing is how hard are they going to be down the road?
It's probably going to get pretty hard. I think they toned down the difficulty for the American release.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that, like, I didn't actually read the article, but I was looking on Destructoid, and I think dude's name is Jim Sterling or something like that.
Oh,
he actually mentioned that he played the Japanese one and he played the American one. And he said the American one was easier.
But he could be saying that because he played through the Japanese one, so he knows what to do already.
That's true.
That could be true, too.
It's like it'd be like playing Splosion Man.
Splosion
like,
Man,
oh,
exactly.
Man, this game's so freaking hard. Then playing through it a second time and being like, nah, it wasn't really that hard. It's not as hard as I remember it. Yeah, because you know what you're fucking doing. It's like, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought time, it was, perhaps?
I just have, like, I just like the way, like, the storyline, for people who don't know, is they see you're a character, and you've been in this relationship with this girl for, I think it's like 6 years or something like that.
Something like that.
Named Catherine, with a K, and then eventually you like to hang out at a bar with two of your friends, get drunk, do whatever, and then one morning you wake up, and this other girl with the name Catherine, with a C, is basically naked beside you in bed. And basically it's you dealing with this, that's the whole storyline is, and dealing, like cheating, marriage, because you're... your present girlfriend wants to take your relationship to the next level, which is obviously marriage, and there's like weird creepy babies in it and like sheep and stuff. It's really kind of crazy visual stuff, but it's like and the guy's like 32 years old. It's like, you know, around our age, and it's like, that's kind of cool. I'm like, that's not really, really been done before, and I want to see how they play this out and how things work out. Like, just for storyline alone, I'm interested in the game. So, I think I'm going to check it out when it comes out in 2 weeks. I think it's, like, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday.
Cool.
But yeah, that's basically all I've been playing, man.
All right. Let me get through some of my easier stuff to talk about. I played a little bit more Alice. Last week I talked about the fact that I was on the third chapter and it took me forever to get through it. Finally got through it, got to the fourth chapter, and it's really cool. They have like this playing card bridge, and there's like the entire first part of the chapter is you going through like build it like structures made of playing cards. So it's really interesting and kind of cool to look at. And then you get into like the Red Queen's area and it's real dark and just destroyed because apparently she just, like Alice went and wiped out the place in the first game. So you come back and you have like this, the remnants of the fact that she's just fucked up the Red Queen's area. So it's kind of cool to see that. It makes me kind of want to go back to the first game and at least try and play it. I heard that it's not nearly as good from a control standpoint, so I'm a little skeptical about that.
I meant to ask you, didn't you get a free version of the first game with Alice,
yes,
right?
Yes, you actually
but
do
not
get
out yet though, right?
It's weird the way they do it. They actually do it as like DLC.
Really?
Yeah, you have to actually start the first game from within the game. It's on
That's
the menu.
Really weird.
Yeah, it's on the main menu. It's like play, you know, American McGee's Alice, and you know, you actually, and it's like all the trophies are linked to Alice Madness Returns and everything.
Uh-huh.
So they take the first game and they make it like a piece of DLC for the game.
But you can already get it though.
Yeah, I have it downloaded already. I haven't played it yet.
See, that's really weird. I figured it was going to be like a release on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade or something like that, like the same time, but you just get it for free if it's...
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like, so... Yeah.
But you can't get it separately, right? Like the only way...
Well, that's the thing. You probably can get it... Well, you probably have to have Alice Madness Returns to play it. It seems they probably will release it as like
yes,
but I guess my point is that you can get it like you could probably get it as like separately, but you still have to have Alice Madness Returns. So
what?
If you
really?
Don't if you don't have,
but then how could you get it though? If you because you said you have to
weird.
Access it,
they will probably put it up on
eventually.
Oh yeah, eventually they'll probably put it up for DLC. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
I got you.
They better.
It's their version of like an online pass type shit. Probably.
Exactly. Yeah. So, let's see what else. One of the other games that we played, for Industream was, Trenched. That's the first time I had ever played that game.
Yeah, I was so surprised. That was the first time I was, like, sitting there listening to it while I was playing Soldier Man. Like, you've never played, you didn't play the demo, and you said you didn't really hear too much about it, you didn't know what it was.
No, I didn't. I had no idea what it was. And I had a great time with it. I'm not a big tower defense guy, but, you know, the fact that you actually have control over like a character, like a physical being, and you can like do shit and like not just sit there helplessly and say, oh darn, my tower is not handling this, I better upgrade it and blah blah blah.
And it's co-op.
I didn't know that.
It's a 3-player co-op.
But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
4-player.
So I thought it was a very interesting take on tower defense, and you know, it's not sure if I'm gonna buy it or not because you know there's so much other shit that I'm playing right now, but it was really cool.
I did play Outland too. I finally pulled the trigger on that.
Oh, what'd you think?
I won't talk anymore. I'm really enjoying it. Like it's really cool.
It's a good game,
but I won't. There's no reason to talk about it. So,
all right,
it's a good game if you like those type of games. Like, you know, I'd say Prince of Persia, like flashback type in terms of animation. Yes. But if you like side-scrolling adventure, not quite Metroidvania-ish
stuff. It's like pseudo Metroidvania-ish. It's not really like you do like the whole backtracking thing, but only if you want to get unlockables. And that's pretty much it. So
You don't need to do that to beat the
game. Yeah, it's pretty much stage-driven, but you can backtrack if you want.
Yeah, but it's good. It's worth the money, definitely. So
all right,
there's always a trial.
A couple of other things that I played, like just randomly, PS Plus had Golden Axe, the arcade version, for download. And I downloaded that game because it was one of my favorite Genesis games back in the day.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I downloaded that, and I actually played through the game twice while I was sitting on the couch. Well, it took me like...
Just by yourself?
Yeah. It takes you...
It's not a long game.
No, it's not. It only takes like 20 minutes to beat. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's a little bit like the arcade version is a lot less forgiving than the Genesis version was.
Oh, it's harder.
So.
Yeah. It's good though. I played that game like so many times on the Genesis.
Oh yeah, me too.
I
literally used to play it every day before school. Literally.
I hear that?
So, Castle Crashers. I played that on PSN.
Wow.
I was like, yeah. It just I was looking down my.
You played it? You bought it or you downloaded like, the trial?
No, I had already bought it. It was on sale one day and for like.
You just got bit by a bug today and or
yeah, it
whenever
was,
and
seriously,
decided, oh, play some Castle Crashers.
Pretty much, yeah. Yesterday, I was just like scrolling down my arcade games and I was like, man, I just kind of want to play something on PSN and I was like, oh, you know, I haven't played the PSN version of Castle Crashers, so I broke it out and you know got through the first you know X number of stages and. You know, just really enjoyed it. Remembered why I loved Castle Crashers so much. It's a really, really good game. So, that brings me to the game that I am definitely going to talk about the most. And, we played this on Industream and, mm-hmm. Thank you very much to Twisted Pixel for sending us a review copy of Mistsplosion Man.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic game. The first thing that I wanted to talk about was kind of the way they, like, how they handled the presentation. And holy shit, this game is pink.
Very pink.
This game is so pink. Oh my gosh. But like it's like when you jump into the game, you see the pink and then, you know, I don't usually talk about menus. I never talk about menus. I really don't. I never talk about menus.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever talked about it. Well, I'm not going to say that. You probably have at some point.
I might have. Yeah. You know, it's been 187
some crazy
episodes.
Into Xanarak is going to bite in now.
Jack Bauer is going to get back to us. You talked about on this episode at this time
stamp. Clearly, in episode 135.
That's right.
Two hours, 25 seconds.
But the one thing that really got me is like that when you get to the menu screen, it's like, it's got like the background music where they're going la 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 and that kind of thing. When you move the cursor, it actually follows the tone of the music.
Oh, I didn't notice.
So I sit there and play with that forever. It's like, I cannot stop playing with the menu. It's just, you're just moving the cursor around and the music, the tone of the moving of the cursor is following the music that's in the background. Just
cool.
Really crazy stuff. And, you know, it's little things that don't need to be there, but it's like, it's such a nice little touch, you know?
You mentioned the pink thing and I'm kind of worried that some gamers will be turned off by that.
Don't be.
And the fact that it's Miss Explosion Man. I think
don't
a lot
be.
Of people
okay.
would be like,
this,
ew, it's Girl Explosion
that's
Man.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's not. Miss Explosion Man is to Explosion Man as Miss Pac-Man is to Pac-Man. That's,
oh, God. But the thing is, a lot of people aren't going to get that.
Yeah.
They're not going to see what they were going for, unfortunately. And I think they're just because Miss Pac-Man was a better game than Pac-Man.
Yes, and
sure.
Miss Explosion Man is definitely a better game than Explosion Man. And that's not to say that Explosion Man is a bad game, because it's not. Explosion Man is a fantastic game. Miss Explosion Man is just better. They basically took everything that was great about Explosion Man and improved upon it. You know, the Miss Explosion Man is running around the stage and like they've upped the animation that she has.
What
like
she says, all the pop references.
Yeah,
has,
the one-liners
songs,
that she's got,
funny.
And the pop songs that she says. My favorite is when she goes, "What's the song? If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends."
You got to get with my friends.
And then after she says it, she goes, "Ew!" She's walking. It's like it's little touches like that that really make me love what Twisted Pixel does with their games because their humor is
it's powered by Beard.
It is powered by Beard. It's very important to note that it is powered by Beard. Yes. But yeah, I mean, and like just like the way they do animations and stuff, the way she walks, the many different ways that she walks, I should say, because she'll do this like weird, like fast walk, like she's exercising. And then she'll do one where she's talking on the phone. And she goes, blah, 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 boys, blah, 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 shoes. And you know, it's really crazy. And it's like, there's so much.
Skating.
Yeah, and then she's ice skating and or the like the tiptoe ballerina one that she does, and there's so much like humor and character put into this game to a character that really never says much of anything.
No, there's more character in a lot of like Explosion Man or Miss Explosion Man than there is in something like, I don't know, Killzone 3 or
yeah.
I would 100% agree with that.
I'm Rico, I'm a tough guy. I'm Seth, I'm also a tough guy.
But they did a really good job. They just polished it up a lot. You know, I mean, it's not like the graphics needed to be fantastic, right? It's a platformer and it's very much zoomed out most of the time, but you can tell.
They are improved though over Explosion
Man.
Oh,
yeah. And that's what I mean. You can tell that they polished this game up a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things that probably tripped me out the most while I'm playing is like the different things that that they, that like the different options that they give you. It's like one of the things that they give you is a, there's a Mandy suit. And Jeff, I don't know if you've gotten this far or if you saw it on the stream.
I actually haven't. I just played through the trial.
Okay.
I need to.
There is a Mandy suit. It basically is this fat chick scientist, and Miss Splosion Man like jumps in her mouth, and she walks around in this fat suit. It's fucking hilarious. And there's like laser cannons that will kill Miss Splosion Man on contact, pretty much. And if you are in the Mandy suit, you can walk through with them. So
it's basically the equivalent of picking up a fat scientist in Splosion Man.
Oh, is it? I don't know. I didn't get as far in Splosion Man as I did in Miss Splosion Man.
So you never heard the fucking donut song?
I don't think I did. I only got I got to on the first game I got to like 111 or 112.
Donuts.
No, I don't think I saw that.
Oh my god, so it's the same thing. You pick up a big fat scientist and you carry him, and while you're carrying the fat scientist, it plays that song and it's hilarious. Oh, you got it on break, dude. You're YouTubing this. It's great.
But it's like so you jump into this Mandy suit to get protected by the laser, and as the laser is shooting the Mandy suit, like meat is falling off of her. it's like you know when you explode a scientist and they turn into meat? That is what's happening. The meat is just like falling off of her. It's like it's ridiculous. And then like doing a actually exploding while you're in the Mandy suit gives you an extra boost. It's like, I don't know why. It's like you're inside a fat suit and you get an extra high jump out of it, or an extra high explode. So just, I mean, really creative ways of, you know, just presenting the game, and in general, you know, increasing the value behind it and increasing the desire to play the game, in my opinion. You know, they upped the platforming. They added a lot of new things like zip lines, which are really, really cool, and sometimes a real pain in the ass. They've got like walls where that you'll jump on, and as soon as you explode, the wall moves. So you can't actually explode off of it twice at the same time, or floors, you know, same idea. And, you know, in general, this game, I think it's harder than the first. I didn't get as far as Jeff did in the first, but from just playing through World 1 in both games, I think the first one was harder.
I can tell.
The new one is harder.
Okay, I'll agree with that, because through the trial, like the beginning of Explosion Man is pretty easy. They basically slowly bring you into all the different elements of the game. As in with Miss Explosion Man, they throw you into quite a few of the ones you know towards the end of Explosion Man, at the beginning of Miss Explosion Man. Like, they don't, you know, like the crazy, you know, all the different kinds of barrels?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They basically introduce those to you in Splosion Man at certain levels in World 1. And in Miss Splosion Man, they literally introduce that to you, like, literally in the first stage.
Yeah, the first stage has, like, almost every barrel that you ever run into.
Yeah, and the one stage, the whole part of we were doing, said it earlier, when saying how Splosion Man is, like, you can't really read the future, so it's like a lot of it is kind of trial and error when you're going through the levels really quick.
Right.
I ran into that in Miss Explosion Man, the trial, like really fast in the level where there's the ships, like the cars flying.
Oh, the highway, like the flying the
yeah,
flying
like
car
the highway.
Highway
thing. Yeah, exactly. And like there's not really anything like that in Explosion Man.
I know.
That throws you right into it. Like, Explosion Man doesn't start to get really hard till like World 2.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now it's starting to get kind of difficult.
Yeah. Can I just say that there were many frustration times with the highway parts of the stages, and that's not the end of it. There's more of that, but
oh yeah, that's just the nature. Of the
yeah,
game.
It's the nature of the game. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. This game is hard. It is really hard, but it is satisfying when you actually get through it. The question was asked on IndieStream if I thought this was harder than Super Meat Boy.
Yeah,
and my answer was yes.
Really?
Yes, I do think it is, because it may not be. It may just be me, but for me, like, I thought Super Meat Boy was hard, but there was never a point where I was just like, fuck this game, you know? I never actually got to that point with Super Meat Boy. There were a couple times with this game that I got to that point.
I will say, it's one problem, like, Super Meat Boy controls, like, flawlessly. Like, it's like...
It does. Yeah,
you hit the buttons, it does what it wants to do. Where Explosion Man and Miss Explosion Man, there's a thing where... I even saw Jason News on the stream where he was on, like, one of those conveyor belts and trying to explode off it, hit a barrel, and he would explode, but she wouldn't exactly go.
She wouldn't get as far as she needed to be.
Exactly.
And that was one of the things that I was going to bring up. It's like I love the level design that they've implemented in this game. It is fantastic. Like, they have everything perfectly laid out, and it's just it's really well done, but it's really, really stingy. You know, it's like if you miss that if you don't time it perfectly, you are not going to make the next like jump. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call it because and you will just fall to your death. And I found that especially in the stage that you saw him playing, that was my fuck this game moment. That was my biggest one. That is the one where I verbally said while I was playing the game, fuck this game.
Because the reason this is what drove because watching that video. All I can think of in my head was that it looks so freaking easy. Why can't they get this? But then that's when it was like, hey, well, it's probably an issue with Miss Pledgeman not doing exactly what you want her to do when you want her to do it.
And it's also a speed thing because a lot of those conveyor belts are moving really, really fast. And you have to explode at the right time to actually make it, you know, across the gap to get to whatever barrel you're trying to get to. So, and I mean, there's that. And then, you know, the walls that I said that move when you explode on them, those were in there too. And you have to explode off of one of those. And if you explode off of it and miss your, and don't stick the landing, now the wall is gone.
Exactly.
And you can't do it again.
Well, I think the best way to put it is it doesn't seem to have a good sense of momentum in that game. Like when you're on conveyor belts like that, like when you're going on a fast one, you would think that when you explode at the end of it, you will go further than you normally would.
And in most cases, you do.
If you time it right at the
right,
very
and that's
end.
The thing,
like,
you have to time it right, and you have to be like pushing that direction every time. And if you like decide you want to slow down at all, you don't make it at all. So, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's really stingy, you know, it just comes back to the way the game handles what you're doing. It's like the slightest, like even if you're trying to turn around really quick, the slightest movement in the other direction, if you explode off a bomb, you're flying that direction, you know?
Yeah. So for sure. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the level design is fantastic and there is so much variety and you never really feel like you're doing the same puzzle over and over. And that is a great, great thing. You never feel like you're doing the same type of stuff in the stage.
It doesn't get repetitive.
Exactly.
Like, even though you're doing the same repetitive things on over, it doesn't feel like you... They're still mixing things up enough that you feel like you're doing something new. And you're like, yeah, it's kind of cool the way they combine these three things that I've been doing for the past, like, three levels, but in a different way. Where it's like,
Right, gotcha. Right. I also love the bosses, I gotta say. I mean, the bosses in the first one were great, too. So, I mean, that's if you guys liked the first game, you're going to love this one. That's the way it works out. There's close to 50 stages. I think that's the way it was in the first game too.
We're close to that, yeah.
But then you also get that many stages in co-op as well. And co-op is really, really well done. I mean, go back to the level design. Twisted Pixel is just great at this shit. And I mean, they did a fantastic job making these levels necessary to have two people or two or more people. And everything is built around that. And they do a really good job of doing it. It's very goal oriented as far as like the teamwork goes, because there's a lot of stages that have like this sphere that you have to move to a different, plug, I'll call it. And you basically have to explode, you know, in the right spots to get it over there. So, I mean, it's very, very goal oriented teamwork and, you know, just
it's like volleyball.
It really is kind of like volleyball. That kind of stuff is really cool. But at the same time, I think they could have fine-tuned that a little bit, because it really felt like when like Jason and I were playing that part, it felt like what I was doing resulted in something different than what should have happened. Like it's like the physics weren't exactly right. Like the ball didn't go left enough and it was going too far up. So that kind of thing. But I mean, overall, fantastic game. And I suggest it to anybody who played the first one.
Or even doesn't. Like, I mean, Trials, people. That's the only thing. It's so hard to, like, be like, recommend something on Xbox Live or PSN and have a demo version or a trial version, because the best thing to do is just try it out. Because most of them have a good idea of what, you know, it's a vertical slice, yes, but majority of Xbox Live games, PSN games, if you don't like it within the first, like, 5-10 minutes that the trial tells you.
Yeah, you're probably not gonna like it. The trial, the Misplosion Man trial is pretty good. If it's the same as like what they released for the beta, it's a pretty good trial. It's got
it's a few levels. It's up to
It's like two or three levels single player, and then I think it's two levels multiplayer. So I mean, if you guys are interested in it, go out and check it out. This game definitely gets a major distraction for me. I thought it was fantastic. Nice. And I think it's like, what, 800 points?
It's only 800 points too, which actually I am kind of, as much as I did pull the trigger on Outland, I had like 900 something points saved up and I for so long, and I finally pulled the trigger on Outland, and then literally it was like the weekend before Explosion, Miss Explosion Man, and I was going to be like, okay, well, I figured Miss Explosion Man was honestly going to be like 1200 for some weird reason.
Oh, yeah.
America, whatever. And then, not that I don't like Outland is good, but I guess could wait a little bit more to get Miss Explosion Man to, you know, separate my game purchases a little bit more. I got to be responsible.
Cool.
And I'll buy it tonight.
That's all I got, though.
Well, it makes me wonder, though, because you're saying like the great level design. It just makes me wonder what they were thinking with Comic Jumper. Just because that was one of the things. With
yeah, and that. You know what? I kind of agree with you to an extent. It's like they did, and I didn't play the Maw, so I really can't comment on that. But Explosion Man and Miss Explosion Man have fantastic level design, and
fantastic
Comic
pacing.
Jumper just kind of it just kind of fell off the map. It seems it's just like
nailed the humor, but
yeah, they nailed the humor. It was great, but it's like I feel like they focused on the wrong part of that game.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I thought what was fun was like the beat 'em up portion of the game, and I wish they would have focused more on that, but they focused more on the shooting aspect.
Oh, the shooting would have been fun if it wasn't like grind fest to level up your guns and level up everything, so you had to go through every level a million times.
Yeah, yeah,
that would have been all right, but you know, make it more like Gunstar Heroes or Contra kind of style would have been cool.
It was a cool game, but Miss Explosion Man is definitely better.
Cool. So. I'm gonna check that out.
Awesome.
Everyone else should too.
Wow, we have been
4 to 5.
We have been talking for a long time. Let's try and blitz through some news and then we'll take a break.
News. All right, cool. We don't have too much news, so we can get through this.
Nah, you want to take the first one?
Sure, why not? Blood Rain. We had developers on, you know, a couple weeks ago now. It's gonna hit official release date August 30th.
That is cool.
The last day of August.
Well, I am quite happy about that.
That'd be cool.
I think the one thing that was that I wasn't sure about was that the whole idea of them not being in Summer of Arcade, but then I thought about it, and if they're going to release on Xbox Live and on PSN at the same time, then they actually can't be part of the Summer Arcade.
Exactly, yeah. I'm pretty sure Summer of Arcade has to have like timed exclusivity.
Yeah, yeah. So. I bet they probably didn't even apply for it, because you know Greg was saying last week that they actually have to put in for it and say that they're interested. So I'm sure they
would have, because I mean, if you get into Summer of Arcade, because they have that deal, although this year the deal is kind of weird because you have to buy what's it called for Kinect for it to count.
Fruit Ninja, which can't be good on Kinect.
No, there's no way.
There's no way it's good.
Yeah. Not with that accuracy, no way.
No, but the accuracy and the lag.
I'm pretty sure any developer would ever. That's what I'm talking about, the lag. Accuracy is not a problem, but the lag would probably be a big issue. But, Summer Arcade, that shit's, like, every game that's in that thing sells.
Yeah, that is true.
People buy all
because they promote the shit out of it, so.
Oh, hell yeah. But, well, they're right after it, I guess, because Summer Arcade runs till, I guess, somewhere on the 20th.
What is it, six games?
Four
games, and it starts next week.
Okay.
So like it's about a month. So it'll probably, it's like the week after Summer of Arcade ends.
Yeah. That's still pretty good, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still in the summer. It's still during the drought, the quote unquote drought area.
Exactly. So. Speaking of drought, when was the last time you touched your 3DS?
I don't know, but I'm gonna probably grab it pretty soon and download the new update that has Netflix on it.
What?
Really?
Yeah, no shit.
I think that's cool, guys.
I'm excited.
I think that's cool.
It is kind of cool, but I have an iPhone, so.
I don't get it. I'm not gonna lie. I don't get it.
Well, I think here's my thought. As far as like Netflix on the 3DS goes, I probably won't care as much until they start releasing 3D movies on it. Because I talked about last year when we went to E3, pretty much the most impressive thing I saw on the 3DS was the trailer for How to Train Your Dragon.
Right. Okay.
And they do the movies pretty well. And Netflix has already said. What's that?
I couldn't imagine watching a whole movie on a 3DS holding it exactly a foot away from my face without moving it.
The good thing about Netflix, you don't have to. You can watch some of it, and then it saves your spot, so you can just continue watching it anywhere else, right?
Well, the one thing they better do for this is make it so that they can, so you can actually download the whole movie and then actually
play
it.
Then it would work for me.
Yeah, because then I can take it on a plane or something like
that,
and I can watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no 3G, right? So you got to
No, there's no 3G. So you have to tether it to your phone or something to make it work and hope the bandwidth's enough. Or
you get a Wi-Fi on the plane, which costs you like $10.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Wi-Fi on a plane is not exactly equipped for movie streaming.
Nope.
If I had to take a stab. But yeah, I'm that if what you said comes to fruition, which would be if they 3D. Have some sort of option where you can download a movie, even if it's just one at a time, like if you can check them out from the virtual Netflix store so that you could take it on a plane ride with you and maybe it expires after 24 hours or something
right.
like that.
Yeah, that's kind of
then it would make sense. Because if they don't do that, 3D, it just doesn't. I just don't get it.
Yeah,
3D would be cool too because you don't have to have a 3D TV to watch stuff in 3D. And I mean, as much as you might think, well, I don't want to like the 3DS really does look good in 3D. Like you can download. There's only one trailer right now, Chris, the Green Lantern trailer in 3D.
I haven't checked to be honest with you.
Well, like, either way, like you played How to Train Your Dragon, and you said it looked really good.
Yeah, it did look really, really good.
So if you can like watch that stuff in 3D, I wouldn't want to sit there. Like, I'd still rather watch the movie on a big screen, but just yes. look at it in 3D would be cool. But I mean, it's just an added feature. It's an option. It's kind of cool. I mean, I have, like I said, I have my.
You know
iPhone.
What it is? It's another device for Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. And
like,
yeah.
even though the assholes yeah. almost double their price.
You know what? I have no problem with that. It's,
I don't
it's
care
an increase
either.
In price. It's been how many years? They have an expanding market. It's going to cost more money to run it.
And I don't have cable. All I ever use is Netflix.
Yeah,
so.
I really don't care. It's been how many years since it's been out and they haven't raised their price? I mean,
they have raised their price, though. Like mine started out as $8.99 and then it went to $9.99 and then it went to $10.99 because I wanted Blu-rays and then it went to $11.99 because I wanted Blu-rays. Then I dropped Blu-rays and it was $9.99 again and now they want to charge me $16. So, I mean, it's not really that big of a deal, but so, I'm dropping DVD yeah. support now because I really don't use it that much anyway. So I'm going to do streaming.
Don't use what you don't use. Exactly. Get rid of what you don't use. Like exactly. I wish, like we only have streaming right now. So I wish we had a Blu-ray thing.
No. Like you don't even have the option for a Blu-ray?
No, we just have our Netflix is the streaming only $7.99 a month. That's it.
Yeah, we use the Blu-rays all the time. Like I said, we don't have cable in the house at all. We haven't had cable actually for about 7 years.
Yeah, and it so makes this sense for you.
I'm like, and okay, so it's going to be like $22 a month for us because we're getting the two Blu-rays out at a time.
That's
and
still
streaming.
Like a shitload cheaper than
no
digital
shit.
Cable.
That's
digital
true.
Cable.
That's true.
Right, so bothers me none. Keep going. Whatever.
Yeah,
bring
really
more shit out
like
to instant streaming. Make it up
people
to
online
us.
Just like to complain, oh my God, more money. Well, sorry, that's the way the world works.
Did you hear? I'm going to cancel my subscription. No, you're fucking
yeah,
right.
I'm not upset about them raising the price. I understand that comes with the territory, but I think that 60% is a pretty
Well,
60%
is a big jump. Yeah.
So, I mean, I could understand if it was like, all right, so you're paying $10 now, we're raising it to $13 or something like that. I mean, that would have, right. that is a more relaxed increment, I think. And
I'm more pissed off about the spin, like when you read about it and they're like, we've changed the prices to more accurately reflect the cost of providing
that.
Our services
yeah,
to
that
you.
That bugs me. Yeah.
Just say you jacked up the price already.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you $20. We know you're going to pay it. Love Netflix.
Yeah. And I understand that they're licensing. There's licensing things that they're going through and they've got to, you know, renew all their licenses and they're getting new licenses and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I understand a price hike. I just thought that 60% was quite a bit. So especially for only one DVD. Time.
If there's more content on the instant, I'm going to be happy with it. I know they were in fights with a bunch of cable companies who were trying to block them from getting like recent TV series. They were trying to do some more stuff apparently with getting current TV series seasons rather than just past ones.
Right.
And there are a bunch of cable companies that were like, no, you can't do that. And so they were paying a bunch of money to block them from being able to do that. So I'm really? Hoping. I haven't heard anything. I'm just really hoping that this is another step along the road to do that.
Yeah.
Kind of follow in the Hulu footsteps.
I'm hoping that's what they're going to do. Because, I mean, I think the instant is awesome. So.
Well, yeah. One thing that's for sure that isn't even up for question is Sony released their new, I guess, SKU for the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to have.
What's new? What's new? What'd they add?
Well, they didn't add anything. They actually took something away. No, they took something away, actually.
What?
They took away component compatibility.
Really?
So basically, if you want to use your PS3 on an HDTV, it's got to be HDMI.
Now, the one thing I will say about
this is not Sony's fault. This is, so what were you going to say, Chris?
The one thing I will say about this is that it is, from what I understand, it's actually only if you're playing Blu-rays. Because
well, no,
it is a Blu-ray issue. It is that
like
Blu-ray
said,
players
not,
are not allowed to go through component anymore. It's
yes,
actually a standard.
Yeah, but it's not just for Blu-ray. It's totally being taken out of the PS3 because it's not going to be like
I think they're taking it out, but it's not because of Sony. It's basically it's a Blu-ray standard where they're saying like, yeah, if it's something to do with, I don't even know who's the people that are putting this. Is it the fucking? Actually, who is it? Like I was gonna say, it can't be, this is weird because it's Blu-ray because it can't just be
HD video only too. Actually, I just looked at it. Sony explains new PS3 HDMI required for HD video only, not games.
Yep. So not games.
So they will.
PS3 continues to support component output for HD gaming and streaming content.
Yeah. Well, it's still kind of moot anyway, because if you had a PS3 and you had an HDTV that somehow did not have HDMI, you could basically just like play games, but you couldn't use your Blu-ray player, which is kind of stupid. But I mean, it's not Sony's fault. They're basically kind of forced to do this.
Exactly.
But at this point, pretty much every TV you buy has HDMI.
Yeah. If you were to go out and buy a TV today, you probably can't find many that don't have HDMI.
You know why this is, though, right?
It's part of the Blu-ray like standard.
It's because HDMI uses HDCP,
right?
So that you have to plug your Blu-ray player into a compatible allowed device to play Blu-rays. So you can't just plug it into, like, if you have components, like, since, you know, Chris, you and I both have that
the Roxio
capture card, we could plug our PS3s into that and just record a Blu-ray. We just stream it right onto our computer and record it.
Makes sense.
But with HDMI, you can't. If you just plugged it into your computer, you'd get an error message saying that your computer was not authorized. It doesn't give an HDCP signal to the player. Mm-hmm. So it's just more digital copyright bullshit screwing over the customer, trying to screw over the pirates.
Yeah.
That pisses me off a little bit. I'm sorry.
It does piss you off, but it's not Sony's fault. So people go out there, Sony, whatever. Yeah. It's not their fault at all.
I'm gonna throw out my PlayStation.
That's it. I'm buying a 360.
It's not even your current one. So chill the fuck out. Just don't buy another one.
So if you're just gonna buy a 360, you're just getting rid of your Blu-ray in the first place anyway. So it's kind of stupid.
360 doesn't do that for their Blu-ray. you're correct. They do not.
But yeah, it is kind of new. So people out there, if you're gonna buy a new TV and you have an HDTV that does not have HDMI, you might want to upgrade because
just put out a new monitor. Why don't you just pick that up?
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of the 360, we may not need them anymore pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. There's a rumor going around that Windows 8 will actually play 360 games.
Yes.
Now, this is pretty cool.
This has not been confirmed yet, but I am really hoping it does get confirmed. Because
that would be cool.
It would be really cool. We always talk about how loud my fucking 360 is. If it died, I don't have to replace it.
Dude, I can hear your 360 from here when you turn
it on.
I'll be sitting here and I'll feel a rumble and hear something. I'll be like, oh, Chris on his 360, finally.
You turned it off an hour ago. It's still spooling down and I can still hear it.
But yeah, I mean, this would be a really cool thing. I mean, we kind of had a speculation about it that we talked about off air, that it's possible that they might be doing this to get out of putting backwards compatibility into the next Microsoft system.
I don't believe that. I don't think that's going to be a reason why.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I guess we'll find out. If this rumor...
It's easier to make an emulator on PC than it is to make hardware backwards compatible.
For sure.
Agreed.
Definitely.
So, I mean,
ask Sony.
I guess we'll find out in the coming months on whether or not this is actually accurate, but it would be really fucking cool if it worked this way.
Can I say I'm just pissed that people are talking about Windows 8?
So there was Vista, and then like 6 months later there was 7, and now 6 months later they're talking about 8.
Yeah, there was Vista, aka 7 beta.
Yeah, pretty much.
And 7, which is good. Actually, I really like 7, so why are we making Windows 8?
Because Windows needs you to spend another $120 on an operating system.
Is it actually literally coming out in like 6 months to a year, or is it just announced that they're working? Of course they're going to work on it. They're not going to call it Windows 8, because then they call it something different every year so that people can't scam their like URLs and shit like that.
I don't know.
Because they haven't called it, like, it's been like XP, Vista, Windows 7. So it's not, the next Windows is not going to be called Windows 8. It'll be called something else for sure.
It'll be called Windows 360. It'll play 360.
There you go. But I don't think it's going to be coming out in like 6 months or some shit like that. That's just,
I don't think it needs to come out.
Yeah.
Because Windows 7 works. Fuck, Microsoft, you made one. Good job.
Finally.
You hit one out of the park. Stop shooting yourself.
Finally.
God damn it. Cool. Just leave it alone.
We have any other news we're going to mention?
We got another one, actually. Speaking of leaving it alone, Final Fantasy 13 Versus.
Is that still a thing?
Talk to me.
Officially? Fish Lady is totally still a thing. That was announced way back, actually, around the same time Final Fantasy 13 was announced.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Back at E3, what, 05 or something like that?
Final Fantasy 13 did this weird thing, though, where it happened.
That is true. That is true. It's not around the same time as, you know, that MMO first-person shooter that was coming on 360 and PS3. I don't remember, guys. I can't remember what the hell the game was called. Unreal Engine. This is going to really bug me because I had
it before. Agency?
Nope.
No.
Oh, God. This is really going to bug me now. Son of a bitch, because I had it in my head
APB?
Before we started talking about this. Nope. It was like, it actually looks like, it looked like Gears of War type character. Huxley.
I don't even know what that is.
I have never heard of
it. If I sent you pictures, you'd be like, oh, shit, yeah, that game. It was a long time ago, and it totally just fell off the face of the earth. Anywho.
It's proven his point, though.
Square came out and basically said, since they're working on so many new development challenges and different stuff they're working on, that Final Fantasy Versus 13, or Final Fantasy... That's it, I got it right the first time. Awesome. Yes,
you did.
Is actually not in full production, so they don't have the entire
what?
Team working on it.
Hmm.
So they're kind of splitting things
How
up
is that
too.
Different from being not in production?
It's not in full production. They have one guy working on it 4 hours a day.
We're still working on it. We're just not working on it.
We're just not really working on it.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at a picture of the Final Fantasy Versus 13 logo.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah,
yeah. It says Final Fantasy Versus 13, right? And underneath it, it's got actually some Japanese text. And I'm wondering if that text actually says,
Who
gives a
shit?
Final
and
Fantasy Versus 13
from Scott Sauer.
This is vaporware at this point. I don't think this game's coming out.
I hear
a frantic email being typed right now.
I actually think this game does look cool. The last trailer that they released, like late last year, looked really cool. But like you said, Chris, like it's
we don't hear anything
they haven't
about
shown
it.
If they don't show it at TGS, like playable form. It's done.
Yeah, I'm, and that's the thing. It's
if it's vaporware, though, my question is, who was asking about Final Fantasy Versus 13?
Nobody anymore.
We wouldn't even be talking about it if you didn't come up and say, hey, guys, it's. I mean, we're just not, you know, putting all our resources in it. That's great. Who asked you that question? Nobody actually cared.
Apparently, Famitsu did. So,
dear Glenn, fuck your face. You suck. Signed, Scott Sauer.
And the other two.
But no. I'm with you 100%, Jeff. I think Final Fantasy Versus 13 looks pretty cool. You know, it's interesting. But you know, we haven't seen anything about it. We haven't seen any gameplay. We just haven't. It's just fallen off the face of the earth. You know.
No, there's been gameplay.
Has there been gameplay?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The trailer they showed, like, it was either early this year or late last year. It was actually a really cool trailer.
Oh, I must have forgotten about it then.
It's yeah. Like they showed quite a bit of gameplay, actually.
But, I think I remember a trailer.
That's why
I don't think
it's necessarily
it.
Vaporware. I just think it's going to be, if it's not playable at TGS, I just think it's going to be in rough shape, and we might not see it for a while, or they're just going to rush it out to, you know, cut their losses.
They're going to rush it out so that they don't get caught up in the next generation of consoles at this rate.
Yeah, for real. Yeah,
it's gonna be a launch title for Wii U. That's what's gonna happen.
It's gonna be the first game to come out for Windows 8.
All right.
Awesome. I think that's everything.
All right.
That
cool. Let's take a break then.
I think you're right.
All right.
I like that. I need a refill.
All right.
Word.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna do our contest entries for the month of June. Yeah, I know it's July. It's cool. And then we're gonna do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up.
Winner of 17 fictional awards. Possibly more, I'm not really too sure. Cause they're fictional, you see. Hailed as the greatest technical and artistic achievement of all humankind.
Yeah, that's totally the greatest technical and artistic achievement known to man, like.
See what I mean? People freaking love us.
Aw, oh, freaking love you guys.
We've almost caused car crashes because we're that good.
I almost crashed my car because of you. What you got there, but I like it?
Absolutely nothing, my friend. Just enjoy Down to 4 Attacks from VG Evo. Oh, and iTunes as well.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thank you. Oh, all right, let's do some contest entries.
Hell yeah.
All right, with Travis not here, we're going to flip back and forth with the emails. And I think I'm going to start.
Oh, are you, Chris?
I am.
Son of a bitch.
I know. Don't hate me, Glenn. I love you, man. I really do.
Whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. All right, here we go. Dear Indus, This is another email from your slightly friendly Brit, Rob Paris, writing to take part in your contest for this month. I have decided to try and use the last contest you guys held to give me inspiration for my entry. Mortal Kombat one, is, by the way, is the last one.
That was a great one.
That was a great one. That one cracked me up. I have always liked games that had multiple editions that you could purchase, each with different unique selling points to them. Really? Because I don't. Thought that I would try and create special editions for this year's top-selling game, winner of 14 fictional awards, Mortal Kombat Indus Edition.
Oh, God.
First up, we have the Glenn Edition.
What?
This will come packed with Abel in the game because, as we all know, his moves are bullshit.
That's true.
And comes packed with a pre-beaten fight stick, pre-abused and thrown across the room in a fit of rage by the man himself.
I'm going to be busy making these Glenn editions.
No shit, dude. That's a lot of sticks to beat up. Oh, that was a bad one. Okay.
Oh, it's like a couple hours of Street Fighter.
Sounds like a Friday night to me.
Next up is the Jeff edition. Now, I know what you're thinking. Is he really going to go for a predictable Canadian joke? You'd be thinking, right, my friend. included in this game is a playable character, Master Chief. But more importantly, the game comes bundled with a moose painted with Go Faster stripes and flame decals.
An actual living
just,
moose
to speed up your slow ass internet.
Okay, I gotta stop and give it to him because he started with a very predictable joke and then made it his own.
Yeah, that's true.
With racing stripes,
with racing and flames. Thirdly, we have the Travis edition. This version will include Solid Snake as a character and will also come packed with the Travis to English dictionary featuring great quotes such as on the reg, for days, son, and periffs, and many, many more.
Periffs.
Also sitting on the dock.
Finally, we have the Chris edition, which comes bundled with Simon Belmont included in the game and comes with a mini scooter. Because as we all know, getting 70 miles to the gallon will make the embarrassment worth it.
Chris.
Really, really not embarrassed, so that's cool.
Denial's the first stage.
All games will be priced at an outrageous $80, except for the Travis Edition, which will be... Oh, I'm sorry, outrageous $79.99, except for the Travis Edition, which will be an even $80, leaving the buyer short change.
Awesome.
I love you, Rob.
Oh shit, this sucks. When you read this PS, I'm gonna be so disappointed.
Can we just not read anymore? Rob, you won.
Congratulations. You gotta read his PS because it makes me a little bit sad.
I know. Hope you guys have a great evening. Love the show and always look forward to the next episode, Rob Paris. PS, hoping Travis reads this. Unfortunately, he's not. For nothing else but to hear his god-awful attempt at a British accent, which always seems to sound like a cross between John Lennon and someone who's been punched in the mouth. Always makes me smile.
That's really accurate.
Oh my god, it's fucking great.
John Lennon and someone who's been punched in the mouth.
It's pretty true.
Oh my god.
Oh, that was good. Okay, next. Who's got the next one?
I'll take the next one here.
Okay, cool. Oh, I'm tearing up.
Oh god. Who is that? Rob Paris?
That was Rob Paris, yeah.
That's fucking funny. All right. What's up, Indist? My special edition box is for the awesome game GTA 5, Return to San Andreas.
Oh, great.
This box comes with a 9mm Glock pistol.
Nice.
With an accompanying bulletproof vest. Why the vest? So you and a friend can take turns shooting each other when you're not playing. Oh. Also in the box, you have an art book because no special edition box doesn't have one. The art book is actually a flip book of stick figures showing you how to shoot at the vest. Leg equals bad. Arm equals bad. Head equals really bad. Chest equals awesome. Lastly, there will be only 50 special edition boxes that will include the most coveted weapon ever in a GTA game. A great big black cock. BBC for you porn aficionados. Dildo.
Oh my goodness.
On the dildo's throbbing veins will be the inscriptions of all the team members who made the game possible.
Can we hope? I just want to say, can we hope that there's never an episode ever again where the phrase dildo's throbbing veins is
mentioned? That is a phrase that you have never heard on Indus until today, and you probably never will again.
I'm pretty sure it will.
Except for episode 0.75.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the next time Asian619 emails us just so he can say it.
Well, he says, P.S., only one of these 50 BBC dildos will have the power to glow. But to glow, you must place it in a tight, warm, and moist place. Okay. You must place it in a tight, warm, and moist place for the glowy particles to activate.
Oh, God.
Having a black dildo glow would be pretty cool.
So, tight, warm, moist place. So, like the bullet wounds you just inflicted in your friend's
exactly.
chest.
Yeah. Stop the bleeding. Call 911.
Call the hospital. I tried to stop the bleeding with a dildo, but it's
can I tell a quick story?
He says, about
bulletproof vests.
Sure, go ahead.
So my wife went to North Georgia State and College and State University, something like that. It's a military school, and apparently. There is a Darwin Award that has been awarded at this school. And, the Darwin Award was awarded because one of the military dudes had a bulletproof vests on and one of them said, is it knife proof too? And he goes, I don't know. Try it.
Oh, God. You're kidding me.
That's what she told me. I do not know if it is true. I have not tried to look it up, but,
I unfortunately believe it.
We're in Georgia. Okay, I believe it.
I'll believe anything in Georgia. All right, you guys want the next email?
You're up, dude. Go for it.
Right, says, hey, Indus fellows. All right, just wanted to tell you about the special edition of Uncharted 3 that is coming out soon after the release of the retail game. What do you get, I hear you ask?
After the release of the retail game.
Isn't that weird?
Crazy.
What do you get, I hear you ask? Oh, you didn't. Fine, I won't tell you. fuck it. I'll tell you anyway. You get a fully operational replica of Eddie Rush's golden gun from the first game. Finally, we can run around looking for treasure and shooting grannies if they get in our way.
Oh, Jesus.
You get a small piece of real sap from the second game. Now we can become... Now we can become inhumanly strong and fuck ugly, just like Lazarevich. I just want to be fuck ugly. Oh, sweet. you get a replica of Drake's ring that belonged to Sir Francis Drake. But the catch is, you can only collect it once you have beaten the game. Then, you get an unlock code after the final credits for a treasure map that comes with the special edition, which is locked with a digital padlock, giving you the location of the ring. Then, you use the open plane ticket enclosed in the special edition to fly to wherever this ring is. But bring the golden gun. There's lots of other horny teens who just left their bedrooms to find this shitty piece of plastic, too. So you'll have to kill them. Don't worry about being charged with murder. They're called Naughty Dog, or Dog, for a reason. You also get to meet Nolan North and get him to record his voice as your answering machine message. Plus, he then gives you a life-size replica of himself, which works too. It's the first ever human cyborg. And finally, you also get a paid dinner with the real-life Elena Fisher.
Oh, hell yeah.
Where you can wine her and dine her and then fuck her brains out. At gunpoint is optional. God, that took a turn. Not going to lie. Oh, and of course you get the game. Thanks for reading this, guys. JG92. P.S. By the time this show is out, my show will be out. Yes, I am pimping my shit here. Should we allow that?
Nah, yeah, absolutely. Fine. We pimp out of the P.S. shit all the time.
Yeah.
Fine. Please visit the non-network section of Retroids and look at the Opposite Sides podcast. It's me, Sangrita, and his buddy, Magadon. Is that right? Big C3 and Lord of Valhalla.
That's a lot of people on one podcast.
That is a lot of people. They're going after Game Crashers territory right now.
I know, right? They only need like 18 more people to get caught up to Game Crashers.
All they need is an RV full of people. MTV's Road Rules. They'll be fine. If we get more listeners, we'll start doing emailing segments too. Much love, you beautiful men, in a totally homo way. JG92.
Of course it's in a totally homo way.
Thanks, JG. So what was that called? It was the Opposite Sides podcast?
Opposite Sides podcast.
Retroids,
non-network.
Non-gaming network. Non-podcast. Yeah, you know what I meant. Non-gaming network.
The not-so-network.
Yeah.
Not-so-network. All right, how about the next one?
All right.
Hey, guys, the game I have chosen for this contest is My Japanese Coach for the Nintendo PS.
What?
I don't know why that's funny.
And the name for this collection is the Gaijin Edition, and Gaijin apparently means non-Japanese person. I did not know that. So,
I didn't know that.
You've never watched Tokyo Drift?
Nope.
Sorry. My bad. Dog.
Dog. Bro dog.
Nasio.
I watched that shit on the reg.
For reals.
I got a Chivo for watching that movie so much.
Get out. We're using your periffs.
Oh, shit. Okay. This edition will not house your standard art book and stickers, but will house the following items. One bottle of sake. Nice. All right. Nothing will loosen you those tight American lips like a bottle of sake. A bag of white rice.
I hope you're talking about the lower lips.
Right?
Are you talking about your sit mouth? Is that...
Sit mouth. A bag of white rice. Even people translating, even people translating get hungry. One MP3 of Turning Japanese papers to help you get the mindset of speaking Japanese. And last but not least, a copy of Rosetta Stone Japanese software.
Wow.
Like you'd really learn Japanese off a DS. All for the low introductory price of $60, rated M for mature.
That's awesome. I actually kind of like this idea of, instead of localizing, including how to read this language.
The Rosetta Stone. Yeah, that's funny. Actually, a girl at my work used my Japanese DS coach, whatever. She's using it on something on her DS or something, and I was like, really? Because she went to Japan. End of story. Cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro. That one was from Biff Sticks.
Yes, it was.
The Sticks of Biff.
The Sticks of Biff.
Sticky.
All right, who's next?
All right, I got one. He says, this is from Jordan Camlet. He says, I would have Assassin's Creed Revelations, Assassin's Edition. Inside, there'd be a replica statue of him, I'm guessing the dude. Of course, also a full-scale, wearable, usable, I don't see how you could use it unless you wanted to be an assassin, hidden blade that goes in the wrist, and it would be $100. That's more of like an actual one that could probably come out. And that would be kind of cool.
I'd probably buy that.
I got to say, though, it disturbs me a little bit how happy the face... this guy basically just said, hi, my name's Jordan. I want to kill people.
Yeah, in the email, it says, I don't see how you could use this unless you wanted to be an assassin. And there's a very huge smiley face.
It's a very, very big smiley face.
But it wouldn't really work in the summer. Like, in the wintertime, maybe long sleeves. You're
wearing short sleeves.
That shit up there.
Strap on.
Shank somebody really quick. I don't know what happened. Maybe. You didn't see nothing, man.
If you're at some sort of black tie event, like at an opera, and somebody just falls out from the...
Here, can I take the stairs?
I'm at the Grammys. I got one for you guys.
All right, let's do it.
All right, this one comes from Trollware, and he says his game would be the Crysis 5 Ultra Edition. Included in the Ultra Edition pack is the Cray XT5 supercomputer.
Shit.
There's an asterisk, so I'll reference these. I guess I should reference these.
You've
referenced
them beforehand.
The Cray XT5 supercomputer. We are not responsible for the damage, daily, weekly, and monthly maintenance requirements, or the yearly running costs.
Okay, okay.
All right, and this computer is to help you get off the ground to play this new graphic and CPU-intensive game. If you pre-order now, we will throw in a year's supply of liquid nitrogen, and that is also asterisk. Liquid nitrogen is for use in cooling the supercomputer only and not for freezing someone, or for use to maintain or start a cryogenic freeze of a body.
Nice.
A quote-unquote year supply is a general usage term and will not cover the use of all allotted liquid nitrogen before the year's end. Upon request, we can get you in contact with a local nuclear energy facility that also we are not responsible and will not pay the power requirements to run the Cray XT5 or to keep the liquid nitrogen cold. This facility will handle all your supercomputer power needs. Crysis 5 Ultra Edition price, a small $3.2 million.
$1 million, wow. How does that translate into gold?
I'm not sure. I think it's at least 27,000 lira.
Lira? Yeah. Wasn't that the Italian currency before they switched over to...
Who fucking knows?
I think it sounded obscure at the time.
I like the whole the asterisk thing. That's good shit. That's
I actually... Okay, so I read this one before because I actually looked up some of this information. I was like, did he actually research this shit and get it right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Crysis 5 is literally coming out with all this shit.
No. I'm talking about the Cray supercomputer, dumbass. Come on now.
I'll bet you he did, knowing trollware.
There is such thing as a Cray XT5 supercomputer, and it's got like,
is a quantum computer? Is it a quantum PC?
It's got like 500 like AMD processors or something like that.
Bullshit.
And it does cost well over $500,000.
Wow.
So
it's,
it's
ridiculous.
It is. Well, it's a supercomputer. It is. Listen, it's something that Google has so that their searches only take like 0.5 seconds.
Listen, Lockheed Martin has the world's first quantum PC sitting in their office right now, so don't much care.
But, yeah. All right, well, I got one voicemail entry, so let's listen to that. This one's coming from our friend Fluffy Nuts.
G'day, guys. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a man, and apparently, so is Duke Nukem. The so-called Balls of Steel collection came out, and what do you get with it? A bust statue, an art book, and some little origami things, or is this a pussy little museum? Postcards. What do I need a postcard for when I can send you a picture of a cock on my phone? Mini playing cards. Mini. I don't know about you, but I have man hands, not little girl hands. Is this Balls of Steel or Balls Cut Off? Obviously, Duke needs help in being a man. So I'm setting up the Man Pack Collector's Edition. It comes with a barbecue apron with plastic tips on it for lunch with the boys. A Duke-branded singlet. Sleeves are for the girls. Duke-branded condoms. Strawberry-flavored for your woman. A Duke's Conquest calendar. Now we don't care what day it is, but what man doesn't have a swimsuit calendar up in his tool shed? Special edition soundtrack. Music to root your missus to. Full of arms and packet backer and meatloaf. Comes with $20 worth of tipping dollars, VIP access, and a complimentary lap dance from any of the future-proofed strip clubs worldwide. And it all comes in an esky. Keep your beers cold, like they should be. Oh yeah, also comes with a game. Keep the kids entertained while you root your missus. So grab some steaks, grab some mates, and hold on to your balls. Duke Nukem Man Pack, coming soon.
That was awesome.
Music to root your missus by.
Music to root your missus by.
Oh my god.
Thank you very much, Fluffy.
20 tipping dollars and a complimentary lap dance. Okay.
From Duke approved strip clubs.
Holy shit. Oh my god.
All right.
As we were.
Let's move on.
Yeah, I think you're up, Chris.
I just did the voicemail.
Oh, yeah, that took a lot of work.
Cheater!
Right, hey, I'll there's go. Nine. We each do three.
All right. Hey, gents. All right. Hey, gents. I normally like to get all silly with my contest entries, but I couldn't think of anything clever. But I came up with something, so I'll get right to it. I'll introduce you to the Metal Gear Solid HD Complete. It contains PSN vouchers to exclusively download the following content:
MGS Twin Snakes from PSN, which will not be sold separately. 6 exclusive MGS dynamic themes, one for each game, and exclusive avatar collections for each game. MGS Acid 1 and 2. MGS, what the hell does
digital.
That mean?
I think that's digital.
Is it supposed to be digital? Digital mm-hmm. comic, okay. Digiac, what?
Yeah,
Digiac.
Digital comic and a copy of MGS Peace Walker, all for PSP and Vita.
Wow.
Disc 1 contains Metal Gear Solid HD Collection game disc. Disc 2 contains Metal Gear Solid 4, Director's Cut, with trophies.
Oh.
Everyone rejoices and can shut the fuck up on the internet.
Make them hoes happy.
Yep. Disc 3, the Metal Gear Classic Collection, includes all Metal Gear games released across pre-Metal Gear Solid.
Nice.
Disc 4 contains 2 exclusive 120-minute documentaries. Uh-oh, the truck has started to move. The evolution of the Metal Gear series in North America.
That is awesome.
Hosted by David Hayter and Inventing a Genre, which looks in-depth into how Metal Gear Solid influenced a generation of stealth gaming. Disc 5 includes a remastered version of the Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence Theater Disc. I don't know what that is.
I don't know, but it sounds cool.
Yep. Disc 6 includes Metal Gear wow. Includes Metal Gear Saga Volumes 1 and 2 and all the new Metal Gear Saga Volume 3 Looking Ahead. Disc 7 and 8. Oh my god, I love
discs.
will include a complete collection of all the games' full soundtracks on CD. Also included.
Jesus.
If you call now. A reproduction of Metal Gear Solid for PlayStation, which will be exactly as originally released.
Wow.
A 130-page hardcover book containing every piece of original artwork from framed artist
Whoa.
Yoji Shinkawa. Oh shit, scrolling is good. A replica Solid Snake bandana does not give stealth abilities. You can pretend.
Ooh, I want to pretend.
A foxhound patch. 6 numbered sideshow collectibles. So what? 6
slideshow.
Six inch.
I think.
Sorry, 6 inch numbered
slideshow.
Slideshow. It's probably slideshow.
I know.
Slideshow collectibles. Solid Snake and Naked Snake statues. Maybe it is sideshow. Slideshow doesn't really make sense there. You type this on your iPhone or no? What does he have? Windows Phone, didn't you, Jeff? And finally, a handwritten letter from Kojima himself thanking PSN user Better Tomorrow and Interactive Attractions podcast crew for giving him the inspiration of this collection.
Nice.
It will all come in an 8x10 metal box with only the Foxhound logo and bows on the front and will retail for $129.99. Thanks,
Sold.
Guys. Better Tomorrow.
I would buy that shit.
That's a
that
lot
would be
of
a
shit.
That would be a sick limited edition.
Can I
that
say I really want that Foxhound patch now that he talks about it?
You could probably get one of those if you really want one.
Well, yeah, but I want it in this whole package.
Oh, well, you know what? Well, hey, you know, back it up. Send it to Kojima. Better
like,
Tomorrow's going to.
I like the truck have started to move.
That is amazing. The truck has started to move. It's so funny.
All right, last one.
All right.
Okay.
Go for it.
This is a wall.
Excuse me. It is.
Okay. Hello to you, Indus Nukem Forever people. Oh, snap. And fuck yeah, this month's contest entry is extra long, but awesome. Oh, she said she likes it extra long, too. So without further ado, I will give you
I love how we skipped the whole that's what she said thing. That's good.
Right. What's that?
Sorry. I'm up with the thing. They skipped the whole that's what she says thing by saying she said. Never mind. You'll understand it when you hear it again.
Yeah, no, I understand it.
Good, good.
I just wanted that awkward silence.
Oh, I thought Chris was the one who asked.
No, I didn't ask anything.
So without further ado, I'll give you my 2 limited special edition sets for the Duke Nukem Forever game. First off, never thought it would come out, and secondly, I lost interest after 12 years of fucking waiting. Yes, it has been 12 years, and I hope the next Duke don't take that long again to make. Let's start off with the Special Alien Pig Edition.
Oh, so
Special Alien Pig Edition?
For you alien freaks out there. This edition includes the game itself, of course, along with a huge-ass pig cop poster. Also included is an alien figurine set, which includes 5 6-inch figures, such as the Duke standing up gold weapons in hand and ready to kick some alien-ass bitches.
Bitches.
What? This set also includes the Enforcer, the Octobrain, the Assault Commander, and, of course, the Pig Cop. This edition comes in a huge-ass 36-inch steel alien ship to hold your game in on the side. And also, you can place each 6-inch figure on the ship's wings to show off. This edition will cost you only $99.99.
Okay, hold it up right there. I honestly thought this would have been golden. I was about to burst out in laughter when he said the... I thought it was going to be called the... First, I never thought it would come out, and secondly, I lost it after 12 years of fucking waiting edition.
I thought that at first, too, and I was like, ah, home run. All right, this next edition for you fans of Duke's Ladies. This edition is known as the Fuck Yeah Special Edition. This edition includes a life-size poster of the Duke and all his Earth ladies standing on the sides as he is flipping the middle finger saying, fuck yeah, at the poster's bottom area. If the poster isn't enough, you also get a set of the lady figurines, including a 6-inch figure of the French maid Kitty Pousseau. Oh, God, I can't read French. Jeff, what's that say?
Pousseau.
Thank you. The erotic dancer.
You are French-Canadian. All right.
Oh, I'm going to fucking shank you.
How is Vancouver? So,
or Pousseau. Either one.
Kitty Pousseau.
I'm going to go jump off a balcony.
The erotic dancer, Trudy Uprights, and the lovely twins Mary and Kate Wholesome, who are both slightly bending forward while slapping each other's asses. Mmm, yummy. They're twins. That's fucked up. Ugh. Sorry.
Whatever, dude. I mean, what?
Mary Kate and Ashley. This edition comes inside a 36-inch titty metal canister where you can store your figure in game by flipping the titties open. This edition is an online purchase for $99.
That's okay.
That's not too bad for special edition price.
Yeah, extremely small font.
Yes. Excuse me while my eyes adjust. Now, each Duke special edition will, if purchased online, only come with some extra goodies to ease the $99.99 price tag. First off, you get your choice of Duke Nukem aliens or ladies thumb puppets, or get both for an extra $3. Why wouldn't you just pay at that point? Now... Next, we have the Duke Nukem 12 Years Forever in the Making 3-disc Blu-ray, where you get to see how the game progressed during those 12 years. Also, this is a 12-hour, 12-part documentary.
Oh, my God.
1 hour for each year it took to make this game, and a 12-minute extra about the past Duke Nukem games made. Last but not least, the Duke Nukem Forever soundtrack, including a special disc with 12 remixes.
Oh, God.
Well, that is all I love the 12. This contest. And hey, at least I didn't take 12 years to make this entry for you guys at Indus, but Glenn did take 12 years to read it. Mike BSN Forever 08 now signing out.
Thank you, Mike.
Also, this idea came from a Mike email.
Yes, actually. This did come from a Mike email.
Yeah, so, good. Mike, whether you win or lose, awesome, and we might, we may or may not be sending you something, maybe.
No, I have something for him. I just haven't sent it yet. I got to get it to him, though.
They got something cool for you, Mike. So, so can I say how boring...
Everything's
like,
multiples of six. I like that.
The middle 8 hours of that 12-hour documentary would just be looking at code sitting on a shelf.
Just a what do you want to do? I don't know. Fucking...
All right. We got to choose one of these guys.
They're all fucking good, but I have one that stands out.
I have two that stand out. That's the problem. I have two.
Okay. I have a couple.
I've got Rob's, which is the first one that we read.
Mm-hmm.
And Fluffy's voicemail.
I got Fluffy's voicemail, like, just barely edging out a couple of them, just because that was, not just because it's a voicemail, that was hilarious, and, he basically nailed the what a man's edition version of Duke Nukem would be.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't just straight out Duke Nukem. You didn't have to do just Duke Nukem. You could do any game you wanted to, but I thought that was just so off the wall and somewhat reasonable. Like, you could actually see them doing that in a way.
Minus the free lap dances. You know, exactly. Duke approved strip clubs.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah.
I was on Rob's, and I actually liked Asian 619.
Asian's is really good, too. That was my
he really
got
me with
Asian.
The leg bad, arm bad, head really bad. Just awesome.
Just awesome.
It was great. So you could take turns shooting each other between plays. God.
This is really tough. How do we choose?
In terms of actual special editions, I'd won. I'd go with Better Tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Better Tomorrow's is yeah. easily.
But he's already won two of these contests, so fuck you, Better
Tomorrow. See, I don't know. I like Rob's, but it is kind of playing off of an old contest at the same time. No, I guess not. It used it as inspiration. He didn't kind of stay away from the actual, you know, do a finishing move thing. So.
Oh, the Mortal Kombat characters.
Right.
Yeah, but I like the way he turned out. That was kind of a cool way. It was definitely creative the way he did that.
It was good and it was hilarious. And I do have to give him extra credit for taking a bland, mundane, ooh, Canada joke and really making it his own and putting them flames on it.
That's true.
It's really customized moose. You will not see another one of these.
And the Travis jabs were good, too.
They were good.
John Lennon punched in the face. That's...
I got to go with Fluffy. Fluffy's my number one if we had to give a winner.
Man, this is hard.
So it's between Rob and Fluffy?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, God.
Man. Rob made me tear up, dude. Rob made me tear up.
A music soundtrack you can root your fucking miss to.
Music to root your misses to.
And 20 tipping dollars and a fucking complimentary lap dance. That's Duke. In a titty box.
This is hard.
It is tough, actually.
Perips.
We can take a quick break while you guys think about it, because this makes for great radio. By
all games are priced out an outrageous $79.99, except the Travis edition, which is even $80, leaving the buyer shortchanged.
Shortchanged. Come on. It's so good. Although this I wouldn't want to make the Glenn edition, because I would have to fight too many Abels, and I would probably kill myself with one of the fight sticks.
Do you want to take a 5-minute break? Think about it.
We can cut all this out. I can write this down and trim it up. It's not a big deal. All right, we've made our decision.
Yep.
And I think we got to give this one to Fluffy.
Good on you, Fluff.
I'm actually gonna. You know, we cut out like the deliberations between us. I'm gonna actually cut them out and put them at the end. So if you guys want to hear like how we came to that conclusion, you can listen at the end.
Cool.
But there you have it, Fluffy. Thank you very much for emailing your voicemail in, and we will figure out a way to get you a $20 Amazon gift card. I'm pretty sure we can handle that. We did it. We've done it for the UK. I don't see why we can't do it for.
Send it to you in gold.
Yeah.
Some rupees?
I wonder if I have that conversation on the backup. I'll have to look. But that is it for contest entries. We don't have a contest ready for next month yet because I think we're just going to wait until August since we kind of ran long. And we'll figure something out and we'll get you guys going for August. So let's move on and do some new releases.
New releases.
Yeah, Repeat. What do
you got? Kick it in, Repeat. What do we got?
I don't have a voicemail from Repeat this week.
What?
I don't believe you.
I don't have one.
Why
are you lying to us, Chris?
What do we do?
I think I have to do it.
Cut.
Okay, well, you know what? No, Chris, you can't do it. You're no incompetent.
Can I get a ball?
I know. I fucking suck at it. But, I mean, what other choice do we have? Hey, you know what? I'm going to call Travis. We'll let him do new releases.
Call Fluffy. Have him do it. Congratulations. You won. You need an Australian to read new releases.
All right. Here we go. For PS3 and Xbox 360, we are going to see Call of Juarez, The Cartel, and Captain America Super Soldier.
I'm actually very saddened by this, by the way.
What's that now?
I'm actually very saddened that Repeat doesn't have new releases.
Yeah, this is like the first time we haven't had a voicemail from him and got or an email at least, and I can't even remember the last time.
Not the same. So. Not the same.
Dead Block is also your PSN download for next week. And of course, last week we talked about Bastion, and that is coming out next week as well. So keep an eye out for that.
That game sounds interesting.
I really enjoyed doing that interview because I learned a lot about the game and I went from like hyped to like, okay, day one, let's get it going. So
They put a lot of interesting level of detail into that game as far as kind of making things choices invisible to the user, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It looked pretty cool. I'm interested in checking it out.
There's also a Fallout New Vegas expansion coming out, Old World Blues, for both 360 and PS3. The Wii is also getting Captain America, and there's Just Dance Summer Party, and...
What?
And wait, it gets better. The Smurfs Dance Party.
Dude, how can I choose?
MFG.
Get on
If I can only
shit.
Afford one game, which one do I buy?
Pick of the week. What do you say, guys?
I gotta go with Bastion. And I don't want to say that because, like, oh, we had them on the last week in the interview, but literally I was looking forward to this game for a while, and this game's going to be cool.
I gotta go seconded. With Bastion.
Third.
It's Summer of Arcade. It's fucking leading off. Summer of Arcade is always fucking awesome.
I agree. So.
Runner-up, Spare Cash, Smurf Dance Party. Please.
Definitely. For sure. Just Dance Summer Heat or whatever the fuck it was.
You know, the one thing that gets me about Bastion is that, you know, when we got... You know, we got an email from Joe from Aces High say, hey, do you guys want to do an interview with Supergiant Games about
Bastion? Yeah, I couldn't believe you've never heard of
and,
it or, like,
yeah,
anything like
and I had never heard of this game. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, let me look it up. And
I looked
it up
and I said, fuck yeah, do it.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, I have never heard of this game. And Jeff is like jumping on it and like spooging. So I went and looked up some videos and just screens of it and stuff like that. And I came back and emailed, and I was like, how have I not fucking heard of this game?
Yeah, true story.
So,
true story.
I am really glad that we got a chance to talk to Greg last week. It was awesome. All right, shall we continue?
Sure. Yeah, we should.
I have no emails this week.
That's fine.
No regular emails. So we're going to just... Do you want to do Indus Questions?
We got Indus Questions coming up right now in a second. Here we go. Right now.
That is staying in.
Aggie CEO says, I think we asked this one already. What do you guys use to stream PC games? Do you stream? We did that already. Oh, here we go. Nabishin says, in his questions, did running shit just beat throwing shit on the wall to see if it sticks? The most overused phrase in podcasting.
Yes, it did.
It wasn't that
and,
bad.
And thank you, Nabishin, for pointing that out.
Jeff BGW, also knows Better Tomorrow, says, what's the furthest you've traveled from home by car? And what two songs in your playlist are the most different from each other? Oh, my God. Okay.
In what playlist?
Any playlist. Like, basically, you're playing anything. Like, any two songs you like that are the furthest from each other.
Jesus Christ.
I'll start with furthest from each other. I'll say "Servicing" by Slipknot, and then something like what's that Mr. Big song?
Oh my god! I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh god!
I can't remember
what it's
though.
Called. Is it One More Try? No. Is that Mr. Big? No. Is it? Oh, I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, they're totally by far like two
super
songs
like
it's really slow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
God.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah, same here.
Is it To Be With You?
Yes.
Oh
no,
god.
Is that Mr. B? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's ridiculous.
I used to love that song, man. To be honest with you. I used to watch that video on MTV, you know, when they still played music, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
And Servicing is the exact opposite.
Yeah, very, very
fuck much. It all. Fuck this one.
What's the furthest you traveled in a car, Jeff?
Myself, in terms of not including parents, would definitely be to Atlanta for the first Indus Fest.
Wow.
For sure. That was like, I think it's 15 hours? 13 hours or something like that?
I think it's pretty close to 15.
Wow. Yeah, it's closer to 15. Yeah.
Okay, then.
I have to think about this one.
Okay, I've got one up for you then. If you're still thinking,
go for it.
The furthest I've traveled is to Massachusetts, by car. That's like a 22-hour
holy
drive.
Shit.
Yeah, that's a roughin'.
That's crazy.
And the furthest apart songs would probably be
Closer and
yeah, right.
Hurt.
No, let's go with Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites by Skrillex. and Piano Black off the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack.
All right. And if you don't know what those songs are, check out Exploited Deleted Podcast.
Yeah, right. Skrillex would be like dubstep, but like less conjoined than traditional. And Piano Black is basically a piano and a stand-up bass.
Okay.
Like it's very classical jazz with a very slight industrial rhythm to it.
Hmm.
So don't
industrial
they don't really
rhythm, isn't that kind of like an oxymoron?
No.
I'm trolling here. Chris?
Well, longest
furthest
trip.
Furthest trip.
Yeah, furthest trip would probably be New York from here.
That's pretty far.
Actually, it was New York from Florida, I should say. So it was, we were in Fort Lauderdale. So it's, you know, Fort Lauderdale is another like 12 hours. Well, it's not 12, is it? Actually, it might be close to 12.
From where?
From here, from Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Cause Fort Lauderdale is about 3 hours from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
We're like 7 hours.
And you're
away
seven,
from
8 hours.
You.
So it's like 10, 11 hours. Yeah.
Right.
And then add, you know, it's like another 13 to get to New York. So. I don't know if it's that much, but it's pretty close. And then the complete opposite songs on my playlist.
Britney Spears.
No, I don't have Britney Spears. But you guys remember when we had like the most embarrassing thing on your playlist?
I'm a virgin and
Do you guys remember when we did the most embarrassing on your playlist?
Yes.
And I broke out Morningwood.
That's right. And we're like, who?
Yeah. So pick any song from Morningwood and then pick just about any song from the first album of Lost Prophets, and that would probably be the two complete things.
Oh, wow.
The two complete
Lost
opposites.
Lost Prophets is kind of sappy at some point, so.
Their first album is not sappy.
I know, I have the first album.
Shinobi vs. Dragon Ninja.
It's Shinobi vs. Dragon Ninja is awesome.
It's so good.
cool. Also, now we should, not so much a question, more of like a suggestion. Next time Indus Jeff is in Atlanta, you guys have to make a video with him in it. Just saying.
All right, cool. We could probably.
I believe that last time Jeff and I were both in Atlanta, we did make a video with both of us in it. I don't believe we can publish it on the internet.
Well, that's it, underground shit, but yeah.
there is a. I know for a fact that there's
rated
a video
R
on
for fucking rad.
I know for a fact that there's a video on the internet of Jeff at the first Edie Palooza.
There is that. Yep.
Starring so my dog.
So there's
speaking of the other things that your dog has kicked their ass. Moving on. Sigma Omega says, in this question, will you ever do a group gaming segment again where we play a game and get up to a certain point each week? I miss that. Now, that kind of confused me because I don't think we actually ever did that, but I like the idea of that.
Was that, isn't that what the,
Rebel FM.
Oh, God. Rebel FM does that, but the game backlog support group.
Yeah. Yeah, basically the same kind of thing. Yeah, I guess that would be kind of, we never did that on the show, though.
No, but actually, you promote it heavily.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. But I think we should actually, I think that's a really fucking good idea. If we do maybe a side podcast, like bi-weekly or something like this, we pick a game that's in our backlog, because God knows we have tons of them, and, you know, talk about it, see what we're up to. Play to a certain point. That'd be kind of a cool idea. I
think we have to do it with crappy games.
Oh, God, no. I can't do crappy games, dude. At this point,
I don't have enough time to dedicate to crappy games.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we can do it like backlog games.
What are you talking about? You like White Knight Chronicle.
Oh, shit. I'm not even going to dignify that with this response, so you can keep going.
So, Simon, we're definitely, dude. Yeah, if you want to elaborate more, I like the idea of that. That's really fucking cool. If we can get the guys on board, or at least some of us,
I'm on board. We can do it.
I would do that. Like backlog games for sure. Get to like play for a couple weeks. Get to a certain point. You have to stop at that point, and then we talk about it. Kind of gives motivation to keep moving. I like it. I like that idea. So, to answer your question, I don't think we have
soon.
Done it, but we might do it. It's really cool.
When will then be questions. Now?
Then is now. Where is now now? What happened to then? We passed then. When? Just now.
That was then.
Anyway, that's the end of the questions.
We're now now. All right, go ahead.
That's it.
Oh, all right,
that's
cool.
That's all the end of questions.
What's the question of the week then?
What is the question of the week, actually? That's a good question.
I think the question of the week is going to go off of what we got emailed last week.
Oh, last week.
That's yeah. Right. Game. What was it? The game that... Oh, that's what it was. Games that we remember fondly, but if we go back and play them now, they suck. Yeah. So here's the question of the week. What game do you have great nostalgic memories of that completely sucks?
Who asked this question?
I don't remember. I'd have to look at the emails. We will definitely give him credit next week when it is
for sure.
Due. So
definitely.
It's Adventuring. He's the one who gave it to us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that is the question of the week. If you can answer the question of the week, please send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. Send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's like Leap, but it's not.
Hey, way to go, Glenn.
Good shit.
If you are on Twitter, you can follow us. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, Indus Pro, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff and the Monsters of Canada. let's see. We also have a kick-in Facebook group right now as Interactive Distractions Podcast, and that is all I have. So do you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
I don't think so.
You can check out my podcast.
I was just going to say, Glenn, pimp your shit.
Yeah, go to expletivedeletedpodcast.com. You can see an episode that happened probably a month ago there. or if you go to the Retroids Podcast Network, you can find us there. I promise we will have a new episode out very shortly. Like I said, my old laptop
technical difficulties.
Asshat. Oh, my God.
Jeff is very punctual on releasing his show. Or Glenn, sorry.
Glenn. I was going to say, what?
It's like, really? Jeff has a show? I've never even heard
Jeff
that
Jeff has never
shit.
Released his show.
That's lies.
No, I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? I'm like, I get all the flack. I'm on VG, like, Retro is in the show box. Why is Indus not up yet? I'm like, Travis is...
Because Travis is editing. That's usually the answer to the question.
Travis is gay? because Travis is the G word for fag.
Oh, God.
That's horrible.
It is terrible.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done.
We rip on you because you're not here. That's the way it works.
The only exception to that was you guys didn't rip on me very hard when I was out, but that's because I was probably getting surgery at the time.
That's because there was a doctor literally ripping on you at the time.
Yeah, exactly. For real. Next time you sit at one, oh, dude, it's fucking... Gates are open, man.
I think I've sat out the
least. Kid gloves are coming off.
I think I've sat out the least of all of us.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well,
it's pretty close between you and me.
You're like master of ceremonies.
All right. I think we're done. Let's wrap up.
So.
Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. If you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, Zune.
That thing. God, it's all at the end of the alphabet and useless.
Please leave us a review. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.
Hell yeah.
Cow.
Pew pew.
Pew pew. Pew, 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 pew.
Do you want to take a 5-minute break? Think about it.
We can cut all this out. I can write this down and like, true, and yeah. Trim it up. It's not a big deal.
I just want to say I'm gonna go for a cigarette if you keep doing that.
I gotta. God, see, but I want to give it to Rob based on the content, but I want to give it to Fluffy based on the extra effort of the production of making that voicemail and everything.
Yeah, that's understandable. God. I can go either way, really, for real, like realistically. But I Fluffy's was like, that's like one of the first emails he sent in. That's actually not hey. Guys,
hey, it's Fluffy. This is Fluffy.
Hey,
I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I ate out two chicks on a boat.
Two misses is on the boat.
He's like, I don't really remember it, but I remember being there.
Music to eat out strangers.
And it was very focused. It was like, yeah. I mean, I like the way that Rob played up to all of us, which coincidentally, Glenn's on the show today and not Travis.
Yeah, I know. That was well placed, I guess.
We could always pull off a tie, the first tie ever, but then two people have to pony up $20.
We should make them fight.
To the death.
Yes.
At Indus Fest.
Yes. God, I feel sorry for Robbie.
We should make them fight to the death at Indusfest.
Because whenever I see someone British, I figure it's going to be this skinny, lanky guy with bad teeth going up against Fluffy.
That works, though. You can have reach.
That's true. Who is Rob Paris? Is he
he's the buddy of Jason and mine who we met on PS Otakus.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like some new dude.
No. He's relatively new to the show.
Yeah.
But he's been a pretty loyal listener since he picked it up.
Cool.
Should we do God, water up this prize? Is really hard.
Well, whose turn is it right now to pay? I paid the last one.
Did you?
JG. Yeah, I paid JG92.
Then I think it's Travis's turn.
So I was gonna say, either you can do a double where we do a tie, they both win one, and then Jason take. Is Jason still involved in this or no?
I haven't really been involving him because of the fact that
he's not on the show or anything. He doesn't have any.
Well, it's not even that, dude. It's the fact that Lisa still doesn't have a job and they're struggling.
Oh yeah. Okay, so, that makes sense. So like, I'm totally cool with like calling a tie as long as like Travis is willing to put in $20 this month as well. Then I'll do the next contest again if you guys want to do that. Unless you guys can decide.
I think we need to pick a clear winner.
I think so too. What are you thinking, Chris?
It's really hard.
I'm going for a cigarette. I'm going to do a Jason cigarette, which means I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Sure.
More like 15.
This is really hard to do.
It really is. I like the jokes better in Rob's.
I do too, but you also made a very good point that he kind of played off of last week's contest or last month's contest, which makes it easier, and it kind of makes Fluffy's more creative.
Yeah, and Fluffy did actually take the time to, I mean, as little time as it might have taken, he did take the time to put music in the background and everything else and send in a voicemail.
Yeah. I think we got to give this one to Fluffy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Damn it.
Sorry, Rob. I loved your email. It made email me laugh awesome. My fucking face off.
I'm cutting a lot of this out, and then I'm gonna put it at the end of the show. So if you wanted to hear the deliberations that caused us to choose Fluffy's.
So good on you, Fluffy. That's what you get for calling my show sleep drunk and not remembering that you left me a voicemail. I can't decide. Is it gonna be Rob or Fluffy? I don't know.
I think we should just give it to Asian 619.
You're right. We should put Asian 619 back in the running because his was pretty good too.
His is totally the best one.
I would hate to just discourage him and cut him out.
I know.
So we're between we've actually added somebody. We're between Asian and Rob and Fluffy.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, we are kidding you. We picked Fluffy.
I just broke my fucking headset.
What?
I had it laying on the couch and it fell down and one of the headphone things is busted right off of it.
Oh, shit.
Doesn't matter. I only use it for a microphone anyway. But
all right. I'm going to come back then.
Okay. All right.